Oh, look at this recording. Did you do that? The fuck?
Just fucking wait.
You're killing me.
All right, you guys, podcast time. We got the equipment and the perfect business plan. Give our show away for free and tell no one how to find it. Ready?
Welcome to the Brand X podcast. How y'all doing? It's been a month. It's been a minute. I'm one of your hosts, John Jamingo. Alongside me, Deuce.
Comes top bitches.
And also, Joe is here.
Hey, hey.
And Duchess is over there. Say hi, Duchess.
Hello.
All right, so she's over there. We didn't give her a microphone because we never get a word in. Just kidding. I would have given you a microphone. I didn't have a cord.
So all this time, I've been sitting here looking at that mic and it don't work?
Doesn't work. Sorry.
You're unbelievable.
I didn't have a cord. I pulled cords out and I don't have one long enough.
Yeah, 10,000. Well, couldn't you like put the mic?
Yeah, bring it closer.
She could bring closer, to, the
closer to the table.
Well, first of all, I'm sick and I didn't want to get her that close. I can't do it now. We should have talked about this earlier.
I did not know until now.
Okay. Jesus. So we were supposed to, when were you supposed to come over here? You're supposed to come over here before Christmas. So Duchess brought me Christmas presents. I hate getting gifted. So I have them here. So I have to see I have to open up the gifts and see what we have in here. Oh no, it's wrapped? Oh, it's not really wrapped. All right, here we go. So open it up.
So you do know how Christmas works.
Yeah, I do. But yeah, usually when it's in a bag, it's not. Okay. What do we have here?
And it's a strap on.
I'm a little. It's a little
and
work.
It's the right color.
Wait a minute. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Holy cow. It's a Boomer Bunker.
Branded material.
Are you kidding me?
Guess who I got it from?
That would be Horrible Designs. What? That's amazing. Look at this. Look, merch. Wow. Why aren't we selling these?
Well, I gave it to you as a gift, but we
can't. I'm saying we should sell these. And it's got a little straw that goes with it, a little stainless steel straw for gay people that don't have to use plastic.
So straws. Is it like insulated, like a thermos, hot or cold?
I don't know. I have to open it up.
Actually, I kind of like a stainless steel straw.
It's not real. It is.
No, that's insulated.
Yeah, it is insulated. Oh, it's beautiful. It is so cool. Thank you so much.
Look at you with your image on it and everything.
Yeah. That's got to be, we got to get some merch going on here. I'll have to talk to him about mugs and shit. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Mugs and shit.
Mugs and shit.
Makes you sound thug, you know, like, yeah. I like the croquet and shit.
All right, there's more stuff.
Yes.
This is crazy. Why? All right.
Crazy.
Uh-oh. Stickers?
Mm-hmm. I figured we could maybe...
Look at this!
Sticker Mule stickers?
No, from
They're from Horrible Designs.
Okay, same
He
place.
Makes all kinds of different things. Wow,
make,
these are nice.
Did he make that tumbler?
Yeah, he made the tumbler.
Okay.
We got stickers now?
Horrible Designs.
Look at this.
To check him out.
I can't believe you held on to this all this time.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
When I ordered them, he got through with it so quickly.
That's crazy.
Awesome. Just in time, painted it in December.
I'm very excited. So now we're going to have to bring these to the Boomer Bunker on, what's today?
Monday.
Friday.
It's Friday. Monday. Are you trying to trip me up? Are you trying to make me where I don't know what day it is? Monday. Yes, Boomer Bunker's Monday. Okay. I feel more stuff.
And Johnny doesn't know what day it is.
I don't. This is heavy.
That is heavy. That room is open over the table.
Okay.
The last thing.
That was a special last minute.
All right, here we go. Let's open this up.
I had to.
Oh, my God.
Crown Royal?
Wait, Eagles.
Oh, wow.
Eagles.
Eagles Crown Royal.
I-G-G-L-E.
On the sack.
It's got it. Yeah, it's got
an Eagles head on the sack. Yeah, that is cool.
It's got an Eagles head on the sack. Oh, look at that. That's got to go on the bar.
Hand that over to Deuce.
That goes right on the bar.
I figure if they won, you could toast yourself with that.
The only bad thing is it shouldn't be purple.
I don't know if it's still the same way, but if
it looks
we
like
were
a
in
Vikings.
North Carolina, me and Don went to go see Kemble.
Right.
In North Carolina. And in for some reason, North Carolina, this is illegal. They can't sell liquor in anything other than a cardboard box.
Really?
So we went to like a flea market, and there must have been like 72 vendors there just selling like Crown Royal bags and any other liquor that comes in like a smock like this.
How many strippers have you seen with the Crown Royal bag that they put their tips in?
Well, it's been quite a long time since I've been into a strip club, but yeah.
Thank Duchess. Thank you. Thank You're you. Welcome. So, yeah. You are That's too cool kind.
Stuff. I am
too kind. You are way too kind. Thank you so much. That is so cool.
You know what? This is what I should have made your old fashioned with. So you should have opened this gift immediately. It's all your fault that the Duchess has a strong old fashioned.
Did I hand it to him early?
Yes. No, it was she tried to give it to me, and I said, no, I want to do it on the air.
Yeah, see?
I wanted to do it when we recorded.
And now she has a very strong old fashioned because of your selfishness.
It's all your fault.
Look at me, just trying to do, you're just trying to make the show entertaining. That's
trying
all.
Trying to do the right thing.
I'll tell you what, I love these stickers. Jason, if you listen to this podcast, I don't know if you do or you don't, excellent job. He's got to be a sponsor of ours. Like, in other words, we have to make sure that we, I don't want him to pay for anything. Like, I don't want him to pay for it, but we have to give him a, shout out. Yeah, that's what they call. That's what the kids call today, a shout out.
They do?
I guess.
That's like a 25-year-old term. I don't think the kids today would call
the
it
the kids
that.
Today? What would the kids today call it? I don't
They'd
know.
Call the kids it today, if they were like born 35 years ago, say that.
They got a shout out on the radio.
I don't know what they say.
I don't know.
Acknowledgements or some shit, like, you know.
So
I'm only loosely connected because of the youngsters that are coming into work now. They're like 22, 23. I keep my ears open.
Well, yeah. My kids are the same way because I'll say something, they'll just look at me with it. Like,
yeah. I'll say something and Diane will be like all perplexed. Like she does the Emma Kelly eyebrows. Like,
yeah. Do you,
what does that right? mean?
You know, and do you do the okay boomer? I get the okay boomer.
No, because since I am a boomer, I embrace the boomerness.
Wait a minute. I thought you weren't a boomer.
No, you were the one that were trying to not be
a
boomer.
I'm a Joneser.
Yeah. I'm the last of the boomers.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
I'm a buster.
I'm December of 64. That's my life's goal, to be the last boomer standing. Ah. But I think my genetics are against me. I want to be on whoever's hosting the Tonight Show like 80 years from now.
Being a,
yeah. The last living.
And I'm just going to say, oh, I ate red meat. I drank bourbon. I smoked cigarettes. That's why I'm still here. Just to fuck with people.
They roll you out there. You're all like crippled in a chair. You can't even lift up.
I thought I would turn cartwheels on the way out there.
Oh, well, look at you. Speaking of cripples, so you guys are coming over here Friday. Of course, you know, I call the cleaning lady, who's my daughter. She comes in, she cleans the bathroom, she runs the vacuum, she dusts, she does all the stuff in here. She also does the upstairs.
She charges me
a C note.
Okay, yeah.
But she does a great job.
Right,
she does a fantastic job. She changes the sheets, she makes the bed, she anything. If there's spots on a rug, she takes a, I have a rug cleaner. She cleans the rug.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm. Yeah, she does a great job. The only thing is, I don't allow her to do the bathroom. Like, I don't want her to, you shouldn't have to clean the.
The shitter?
The shitter of your father, especially if there's like stains and if there was a, I don't know, like a splash down, splash up in the bottom of the seat.
Oh, we call that spackling.
Spackling. If the bottom of the seat is spackled, you don't want your daughter to come in and have to clean your shitty father's spackle off the back of the seat.
Yeah, well.
So Wednesday.
You really paint the picture.
Thank you. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing here. So Wednesday.
You have a lot of goddamn problems. I go in the bathrooms as clean as I, when I went in, when I leave.
All right. So I'll explain to you what happens. Because I'm on that medication that makes you constipated, that I always am eating like gummies.
That's what Dukalex is for.
Exactly. So I was having a little issue.
A little one.
So I took two Dukalexes and ate like five
You're
or six.
You're not supposed to take two.
They say you can take up to three.
A day, not at once.
A day is a day.
What's Holy shit.
Space it out.
So what happens is that you get the one push, and then there's the one, the solid thing that hits the toilet like a Scud missile, and then after that, spackle.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyhow, so I don't want her to do that. So I get a bucket of soapy water and a rag, and I go up and I'm going to do the toilet. So I go into the bathroom. Now, for the past couple of days, and I don't know why, my knees are really, really sore. I think I'm allergic to turmeric because when I stopped taking it.
Oh, I so wish my wife was here.
Okay.
Because turmeric is a cure for everything. Milk thistle is a cure for everything.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's supposed to be an anti-inflammatory.
Right.
It is.
Tory, whatever. So I was taking it and I couldn't even walk. Both knees were excruciating. So I go upstairs. My right knee is killing me. So I get the bucket of water. I get the sponge and all. And I go ready to bend it down to do the toilet. And then all of a sudden, this knee says, fuck this. I'm done.
Oh, Christ. Yeah.
Nuclear launch detected.
Exactly. So then I'm like, because now usually, and I don't know about you guys, but when everything like this happens to me, it's very slow motion. So I know I'm going down because I can't grab anything.
Like Steve Austin, the Bionic Man slow motion?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. So now I'm looking. There's the door. I know. I don't want to hit my head on the edge of the door. That's bad. So I see like an opening between the door and the bathroom scale on the floor. So I twist and turn, and I hit with quite a force, so much so that I actually kind of bounced a little bit and slid. So I'm sitting there, and you lay there for a second. You're like, okay, is everything all right? Can I move? So you start moving your shoulders and everything. So I'm like, all right. So I said, all right, let me get up. Well, I've had both knees operated on, and this one's sore already. So I try to get up on my knees. I'm like, nope, that's not working. So now I'm like, I need a life alert. I've fallen, and I can't get up. So fuck. So I'm on my belly, army crawling out into the bedroom where the carpet is. And then I could work myself up to my good knee and then use the bed and then stand straight up again. But I was like, fuck. I mean,
I don't even actually know as long as I've known you and as long as we've talked about this, like, is one knee like devastatingly worse than the other? Or are they both kind of equal?
They're equal, but they'll take turns.
Like Joe's elbows.
Like Joe's tennis elbow. Yeah,
yeah, right. Mm.
So anyhow, I fall on the ground and I meant to text my daughter. What did I text you?
Humpty Dumpty.
And I said, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. I meant to text my daughter. And somehow I grabbed your text and she's like, what? I'm like, oh, fuck.
Now you have splaining to do.
I have splaining to. So I said to her,
poor Duchess is on the verge of calling 911 for you. And your daughter's oblivious to all of this.
Right. So then I said, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. So then she's like, what happened? I said, I'll tell you Thursday. And she's like, what? I'm like, all right, I'll tell you. So I had to tell her. But I mean, I'm at the age now where I have to really be careful. Like, you know me. I used to be, you know, we'd play football or whatever, and you'd hit the ground or whatever, and bounce right back.
45 years ago.
Yeah, it was 45 years ago, but still. You would have that problem.
What do you mean?
I mean, you wouldn't have a problem getting up off the floor.
Well, I Wise got a skateboard for Christmas.
Right.
Like, Wise is 29. So when he was like, say, 12 or 13, he got a skateboard.
Right.
And I was like, all right, here. He didn't know what to do with it. Here, let me show you that, because I had a skateboard when I was a kid. And I'm in the front. Yeah. And I'm showing him how to skateboard and everything. And I was doing okay until I fell off. But so anyway, when I fell off, I landed like flat on my back. And the only thing I could think of was like, I was in excruciating pain, but that didn't matter. All I was worried about was like, boy, I hope the neighbors didn't see this.
Well, that's when you got Wise a scooter, it was the same thing. I said, let me try that thing. I was like, you know, and I was about, I guess, what, 40 some?
Was that the Razor?
What's that?
The little Razor scooter?
Yeah. And I get on it.
When they were a thing.
Right. So I start, and this thing just goes right out from underneath me, and I do like a half a backflip, and I land flat on my ass in the driveway. Wise is watching this. Like, oh, right. That's the first thing I did. I'm looking around at it. Did anybody see that? Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit.
I did become keenly aware that when we were kids, you would bounce right up and like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do that.
No,
I laid there for about a good minute.
Yeah, like, is that, you know, is that, how hurt am
I? Well, I think I actually passed away for about 20 seconds. And then when I came back from the light, I was like, then I was worried about, oh, man, this really hurts. And maybe about 15 seconds after that, I was like, boy, I hope nobody saw me do that. Clearly nobody did, because no one ran out of their house to check up on me. And then I got up and I said, yeah, don't do that.
So I don't know. The kids must have been like, I don't know, 8 or 9 somewhere. My kids were like 8 or 9. And when I was a kid, there was the Defert Roller Rink right up the street from me. We used to ride our bikes at Defert Roller Rink on a Saturday, and we would spend all day there roller skating. All day. Roller skated forwards, backwards. I even played roller hockey there. So I can roller skate. So my kids are going to a roller skating place, and my friend Mark, he's also, you know, he roller skates now. He had like, back then he had the inline skates, rollerblades.
Yeah, rollerblades.
Rollerblades.
So we go, and I said, he says, you're going to skate? You're going to skate? I go, yeah, I'll get some skates. So I put my skates on and all. I'm on the carpet, which is no big deal, and I'm skating. I'm showing the kids. I said, okay, let me show you how to disco dance. Let me show you how to do this,
kids. Let me show you how this is done.
Backwards.
I get out on the floor, and I do 1, 2, and then I go to turn around. Like, you know how you spin around? Like, and the next thing I know, I see 2 feet in front of me. And I go, whose feet are they? Mine. Down I go, just like you. Boom, on the floor.
And every ounce of oxygen just gets expelled out of your body.
Leaves your body. So you're laying there. And then Mark comes over and he goes, that was, what'd he say? He goes, that was amazing. And he goes, do you need a hand? I said, I think I'm going to lay here for a second or two. He goes, are you hurt? I go, I don't know. I'm still trying to breathe. So he comes over. He goes, here, pussy, take my hand. So he puts his skate on and pulls me up, right? So I'm standing up. He goes, are you all right? I go, yeah. He goes, go take those skates off before you hurt yourself. Oh, my God. Meanwhile, he's out there with the kids, z all around with his skates on. I hated him. But that was like the first time, because I used to skate all the time.
Are there any skating rinks left?
I think Defert
just Defert just recently closed.
They just closed.
Yeah, Echelon skating rink. We went to Defert a couple of times. Then they opened the Echelon skating rink.
Okay,
and we were there like every weekend for like 3 years straight.
Before they opened up Defert, there was a place called the
Glendora
skating rink, which skating over by was over
on the Black Horse Pike.
Black Horse Pike. That was the first one that I ever went to.
That's where I don't know if you remember PJ's, that bar was it?
Yeah.
That's where the Glendora.
Okay. All right.
That was, you know.
So, yeah. So I'm getting old and I can't do this shit anymore, which really bothers me. But I don't know. We'll see. It's like crash.
I like being this old and surprising the shit out of the young bucks that I work with. Like,
that would be cool.
Some of the stuff that we have to do at work, and we do time drills and things like that. And you have like a certain amount of time to do. Like one particular thing we have to do, you have 11 minutes and 26 seconds to do it.
Right.
And if you're like a Green Beret, you can do it like in 4 minutes. All right. I'm not a Green Beret, but I can do it in 7.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. And like, so one guy was like, how old are you? I was like, well, I'm 60. I was like, I didn't know you were that old. Well, thank you. You know, that's
great.
Yeah. I mean, I felt pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. I felt pretty good about that, you know. But
my downfall.
But there's some guys that are like these young whippersnappers, and they take all of 11 minutes, and you have 11:26 to do it, and they'll do it in like 11:15, and they're like drenched in sweat, and they're passing out, and some of them go home after that because they can't, you know, they're about to pass out. It's crazy.
When we worked in Camden,
Camden.
Camden.
We'd go, there's a pizza place at the Victor. We'd go over there and have lunch and everything. Now, I'm the old man in the group. I'm 59. Let's say I was 55 at the time, and all the kids, they're like 30, 35. We're going there, these two aggressive panhandlers.
Were they breaking your balls beforehand?
Well, yeah, okay. Of course.
That's how it always starts.
Two aggressive panhandlers come out. They start harassing everybody. Now, I'm walking like maybe 100 feet behind everybody with another guy. They start pushing these kids around. The kids are like, oh, yo, man, it's cool. It's cool. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
I'm like,
when does that happen?
Hey, motherfucker, get away from them kids. I'll beat your fin. And all of a sudden, they're like backing off. And everybody's looking at me like I'm a lunatic, but they backed away.
Yeah.
And then, like, the kids, oh, man, I didn't know. Well, you know, that's what you do. You got to attack these motherfuckers.
That's how you handle shit.
That's how you got to handle these kids. They don't know. Yeah.
Kids these days.
So now they're like, they got a whole different.
They've never been punched in the face.
No.
And it shows.
Yeah.
It's like that meme you always see. Some of you assholes have never been punched in the face.
You've always hid behind the keyboard and all that shit.
All caps. I'll show you.
Yeah. I had the same problem when I was working in Philadelphia. We were working at Drexel University. I was a helper, so they're sending me out for coffee. So I'm walking down the street, and I see this big black guy. He comes out, and he starts following me. I'm like, yeah, here we go. So I cross the street. He crosses the street. So he's getting closer. He's getting closer. And then I'm like, well, here we go. So I turn around. I said, what's your fucking problem, motherfucker? I said, you got a problem? You need? I said, because we could go right now. I don't give a fuck. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, whoa, what? I
you
said,
dropped why this.
Yeah, so why are you up on my back like that? Get the fuck away from me. I think I called him the N-word. But anyhow, that was back when you used to be able to use the N-word.
I don't think you were ever really supposed to use it. I don't know what planet you're from.
No.
Three people instantly disavowed that.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Now, well, back in school, we called it self-correcting behavior because it usually resulted in a guy who used the term getting beat up.
Okay. I didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
What was the time when, I think it was Wave, he had his arm around Sandy and he comes walking back like, oh.
You punched him in the chest?
Yeah, I punched him in the chest.
Yeah. Jealous prick.
Well,
he was doing it just to piss you off.
Well, he did it to me too. The first time I met him, I got that thing in the chest because I was like, oh wow, who's the redhead? She's pretty hot. She's with me. Oh, okay. Hey, that's cool.
I mean, that's how you did shit back in the day.
Well, yeah, I got the message. You know,
right. It's okay. But I know.
That's how it was done.
All right.
Well, John pulled the seat out from under you and then blamed the bishop.
Christ.
Well, yeah, I didn't like the bishop.
Liked the bishop.
Well,
Why was the bishop even around until this day? That just
Like the other people, he's like Presley. These are the guys we kind of tested.
We was like kind of like, let's see if he's cool.
Yeah, he was.
And he wasn't, you know, I was going to kill him. I was. Because
first of all, I have an issue with any man that's under 5'6", because you know they've got issues. They got little man syndrome.
So
they're always going to try to be
better than
anybody else.
We hung out in this bar called Kaminsky's, and there was this really hot waitress, tall, black hair. Her name was?
Oh, which one?
The brunette or the blonde?
The brunette.
Oh, wait, are we talking about the bishop incident?
Yeah.
That wasn't the waitress. That was, there's a group of people sitting in the table behind us.
Oh.
And one of the women was exceedingly attractive.
Right.
And she was standing up.
Actually, her name was Kate.
Yes.
The one that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
The blonde.
Right. No. The brunette was Kate.
Oh, okay.
And they had the Kaminsky's calendar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was out like in nature with a backpack and hot pants on and everything.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
I mean, but if you like that shit, if you like a wasp-waisted woman with like heaving breasts and tight-fitting clothes and booty shorts, I myself don't care for that kind of exploitation. But if you like it, that's fine.
Well, she was standing up.
Right.
Like, behind me.
Right.
And her ass was like very close. And everybody's like, hey, Joe, turn around. I'm like,
and you remember what she did?
Well, she was wearing tight jeans and she was very attractive.
Right.
Well,
no.
Well,
whoever heard of an attractive waitress?
When I turned around, somebody grabbed the leg of my chair and flipped it and I fell into her.
Now, right? Mind you, this is the first time Joe is meeting John.
Right. So what happened? It's the chair. The chair has like a brace across the two legs. I reached out. I grabbed the brace because you turned around like you were going to bite her ass. You went.
Well, I looked around.
And like, when you're falling down, you got to break your fall.
No. Don't say that. He went. He's like he's going to bite her ass, and I said, "Oh, well, let me get you a little closer." So I reached down. I picked up the chair,
and I fell right on top of her.
Right.
Yeah.
So alcohol's
now,
a wonderful.
Well, I look like an asshole. I look like a drunken idiot because I fell on this woman. Now, like, the three Sir Lancelots at her table decide they're going to get up and, yo, man. Yeah,
we all cool. We stood up. You weren't going to get there. I said, his chair fell over. It wasn't his fault.
I didn't see the bishop fall standing up.
Well, the thing that pissed,
he might have been standing up. He was only 5'6".
Yeah. Well, the thing that pissed me off is one of her friends gets up. Yo, buddy, you owe her an apology. Like, you know. And I felt like being logical. No, actually, it's one of these jerks. But no, you can't say that.
That works at a sports bar.
Yeah, you're being logical. But now I'm like standing there. I'm enraged. I want to punch somebody. And I thought it was a bishop. And I was going to do it. But then someone said, John did it. And I was like, why did you tell me John did it? I don't want to punch John. I want to punch this fucking guy.
Yeah. He did have a punchable face.
Yeah, he reminded me, for some reason, he reminded me, remember the Big Ragu and Laverne and Shirley?
Yes.
He reminded me of that guy. Hey, the Big Ragu and
he's
all that.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
He did.
I wonder if the bishop's dead.
I think they're all dead and out of Laverne and Shirley now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the bishop that was
Kennelly.
Yeah, right.
Right.
What a dick. Yeah, so I was standing there looking all embarrassed, and the girl's looking at me like I'm a creep, and these guys are giggling.
I think I tried to smooth it over. I said, his chair slipped. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Well, then I'm sitting at, now the rest of the night, I'm just glaring at the table, waiting for this guy to say the wrong thing, because I want to beat him.
I remember the night that I was really sick. We go to Kaminsky's, and I had the cold like I have now. So... And was that this is the same night that I lost my beard in a shaving accident? Was that the same night?
I think it was.
So I'm trying to trim my beard up and whatever. I did something and I couldn't even fix it.
He fucked up so bad he had to shave his mustache off.
All the way. Yeah, because
wow.
The mustache remains, but he fucked up so much.
Wanted to shave his head.
When I shaved off my beard and left a mustache, I looked like a gay. I looked like one of the village people. I said, all right, well, the mustache has to go too. Because then what I tried to do is I was like, oh, no, I can't have that. So I shorted it. Next thing you know, I had a Hitler. And I said, well, I can't have a Hitler. So I ended up shaving the whole thing. So now I come in, and I think I was 25 or 26, and I haven't had a beard since I was 18. So it was the first time I shaved. So my face is bright red. I'm sick. So as I go to sit down.
Baby face John.
I go to sit down, and everybody's looking at me like they didn't even recognize me. That's how much of a baby face
I'm the only guy to recognize you. You know, I was like, but I was like, I can't be John. You don't have a beard. Oh, it is John. He's walking over here. Like, hey, check out fucking John.
So the waitress comes up and says, can I get you something? I said, yeah, give me two shots of Jack Daniels. So she comes back with the tray with the two shots and she's handed to me. I drink one. I give it back to her. I drink the second one. I said, can I get a couple more shots of Jack Daniels? And I decided to, because I couldn't taste anything, and I couldn't smell anything, and they had horseradish on the bar, or they had horseradish on the table because you guys got...
That was the hottest horseradish in the history of Earth.
I was taking tablespoons of it and just eating it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't taste anything. I drank about six more shots of Jack Daniels, and I went home, and the next day I was right as rain. I mean, it cured my horseradish and Jack Daniels cured my sickness.
Spackle later. There's spackle a spackle. Later,
sure. Well, no, I don't think it was. I don't remember anything like that.
Yeah, you don't.
No, I don't. Usually I would. But yeah, it was fun. It was, but I mean, that was, we used to always hang out at Kaminsky's. Yeah.
I'm going there tonight.
We were about two, three times a week.
Yeah. How do we all know how to get together when we didn't have like the cell phone?
Sometimes the bat signal was on.
Yeah. We called it the bat signal because.
Which sometimes just inexplicable. Yeah. One time me and Don showed up I lived down the street at that point.
Right.
And we were out and about. I don't know what the fuck we were doing. I know we were at the Cherry Hill Mall. All right, let's go get something to eat. And then we got something to eat. And then, of course, the bitter Asian man and Wave showed up. And then the next thing, Joe showed up. And then you came walking in.
Yeah, everybody would just show up.
It was just like the bat signal was on. Like, everyone knew where to show the fuck up. And there was no cell phones then.
No.
Nobody had a fucking cell phone.
Everybody just go there.
I don't even think we had beepers back then.
No. It was before the beepers.
Yeah.
Late 80s.
So... Yeah, it was like now.
We should record an episode there.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll go for it, but.
Yeah, why not?
We could try talking to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All they could do is say no.
Right.
Can't boil you in oil or anything like that.
The amount of money you invested in.
I have the mixer and everything to do.
Well, I still go pretty much once every Friday I go for a happy hour because I know a lot of people over there. So I still spend money there.
Probably would have to do it off hours, like after lunch and before dinner.
Yeah, you would
like
have to do it in the, you'd have to do like it 2 in o'clock. The dining room, probably.
2 o'clock in the dining room. We just set up three microphones. Four if Kate comes. Get another microphone cord. I already ordered a 25-foot cord, so next time.
Oh, so she could be upstairs while we're...
I'd put her over there if I have to.
Oh, 12 feet away?
Yes.
Nice. Thank you.
She could sit in the car.
You know what I'm
like noticing? Like Samantha and Lisa do.
I don't know if... When I used to have the podcast studio upstairs in that little room off my bedroom.
Way back, yeah.
Way back.
2016.
That was when I had the reverse drive through. That was when COVID started. I would call up a place to get food delivered and I'd say, go pull up the side house and right the window. I'd open a window and he'd come over and give me the food. I remember I was going to have Jimmy come over and I was going to hand a microphone out to him while I was in his car and do a podcast from him out in his car, but we never ended up doing that. But.
Jimmy would have fucked it up.
If I can change the subject a little bit. Thank you. How much fun has it been since January 20th?
It's like Christmas every day.
Isn't it?
I'm having a great time.
There's a new gift every day under the tree. It's like...
I can't get over it. And the thing is, and the only real problem I have with this, the only thing that's ruining it for me is my daughter... doesn't like Trump. So now I have to talk.
So she's Mrs. Wet Blanket, Mrs.
She
Stick
is
in the
Mrs.
Mud.
Wet Blanket.
Mrs. Take the Wind Out of Your Sails.
Right.
Does it ruin the fun for everyone?
Yeah. So, but I mean, he's back to tweeting again. And, you know, we get on the Boomer Bunker, we get Kate to read the mean tweets from him.
Yeah. Hesitantly.
Yes. Well, she does. Well, since we're here.
So you're going to put her on the spot without a mic?
No. Of course not. All right. So I have a couple Trump tweets from today. These are from today. All right. So here's the first one. I will be signing an executive order next week to end the ridiculous Biden push for paper straws, which don't work. Back to plastic! Exclamation point. I'm like, where the fuck? I love this guy.
Thank God I'll have a Chick-fil-A milkshake that doesn't clog up in the paper straw.
Exactly. The first thing I thought about was a Chick-fil-A milkshake. So
I need that wide gauge.
So
sometimes I've gotten the entire cherry up to that damn thing. Like, whoa. All right.
So then Trump decides he's going to go to the Super Bowl. All right. He's actually going to the Super Bowl.
You know what? I did not know that he's going to be the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had
I didn't know that either.
I had thought somebody within the last 56 years had done that.
Right. Well, let me say this. Trump is the first one at the game, but does everybody remember the one Super Bowl where Obama appeared on the Panavision screen like Big Brother and started lecturing people?
I did not remember that one.
Oh, man. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It's the Super Bowl. I want to watch the game. And he wasn't just, they broadcast, like a Panavision. It's like he looked like Big Brother up there. Like, oh, this sucks.
What did he do? Just say hi?
No, he said, everybody have fun today.
I got a pass.
As Americans, we're all gathered here today to watch Super Bowl.
I don't think I can do another one.
What? You big pussy.
Okay. All right, I'm another one.
Old fashioned.
We'll move into it.
Deuce the enabler.
I'm so malleable.
Well, you're not feeling well. It'll clean everything up.
That's true.
This might not have been a Super Bowl.
Right.
It might not have been a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, but it was one of the big games.
Nobody needs to see his dumb face there.
Anymore. Right. He
probably
didn't need to beat it.
Probably an NCAA. Maybe more. I remember he was about the March Madness one year.
No, it was an outdoor stadium. It might have been the World Series or something. But I remember he did that, and it pissed me off. Because, first of all, I believe sports should not have any of that bullshit in it. Get all the message. Get the Black Lives Matters messages off the field. The end racism messages, because you're not going to end racism simply by saying
I don't know if you know this, but they're not putting end racism.
That's gone. Yeah,
it's gone. They've taken that out. So they're like, whoa, what do you mean?
Right.
The
rainbow symbols and all that bullshit. Get it out of there, because you go to watch sports. Just watch sports.
They've ruined a generation by making it where you can't say this and you can't say that and this and all.
Yeah.
Politically correct.
Well, they made.
Sense.
Well, right. They made politics so all-encompassing that you can now no longer escape it. There's nowhere to go.
So he's going to the Super Bowl. So, of course, everybody gets to ask, well, what do you think about Trump being at the Super Bowl? And they're, you know, so they're trying to get someone to say, well, I think it's fantastic or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what's the big deal? The president's going to the Super Bowl. I think it's fantastic the president's going to the Super Bowl. First time the president's going to the Super Bowl. So now, because Travis Kelce didn't say, oh, I don't want him at the Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to give him shit. What?
Did he say that?
No.
No, he did not.
No, he didn't.
He was like, hey.
Was he supposed to?
I think that everybody wanted him.
They wanted him to say that.
Exactly. And if you know anything about, you know anything about Travis, he's the most uncontroversial person. Like, he really doesn't have, like, he doesn't hate anybody.
He has no axe to grind.
No, he's just, you know, a good guy. You know, he's living life. He's banging the fucking dog shit out of Taylor Swift. Now, here's a guy. There was a Taylor Swift fan. She was coming to Arrowhead. The guy goes and gives her a bracelet, a friendship bracelet. And then she didn't take it. So he makes him think. Next thing you know, a couple months later, he's knocking the bottom out of it.
Yeah.
And she's a fucking billionaire.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm rooting for them. Like I have nothing.
I don't know what, you know, what does she do to me? I mean, okay, I don't like her songs. I'm not a fan, but God bless her. Jesus Christ. Right. Being a billionaire is what you dream about being. And
she just did a world tour where she just made all kinds of money.
The greatest tour in history. The
exactly.
Most profitable tour in history.
She gave every one of the truck drivers.
A Hummer?
No.
No.
Close.
You know, the GMC electric vehicle. Oh. You guys are pigs. You know, you really.
Yeah, sure.
She gave him $100,000 bonus. $100,000.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, top of your pay. Hey, you know what? I made a ton of money here. Thank you for all your help and, you know, everything you did. Here's $100,000.
Yeah, and she's an asshole.
Right. Thank you, dude.
The stage gave you $100,000, man. What the fuck?
So, anyhow.
But the drivers aren't complaining.
No.
Of course not. So now he's going to the Super Bowl, and of course, he's doing the interview. Now, for 4 years, they didn't have Biden. Biden didn't do the Super Bowl interview before. First president that didn't
do
that.
He was asleep.
Yeah, because
he tucked him in.
You know. Right. So here's Trump's tweet about the Super Bowl. Two great quarterbacks in this game. Also, an unbelieving running back and an absolutely best tight end in football ever. Parentheses. Incredible coaching. If they would just get rid of that really weird-looking new kickoff deal, which actually makes football more dangerous, it would be doing everybody, especially the fans, a big favor.
There's an executive order coming down the line, too.
Now, all caps. Anyway, it'll be a great game. I'll be doing the interview before the game at 3 p.m. There hasn't been one in 4 years, parentheses, gee. I wonder why.
He's like, fuck. So subtle.
I've never been so wrong about a guy in my entire life. You know.
Yeah, if anyone wants to listen to the 2016 Brand X episodes.
Where we used to fight about
it. When John had his head up his ass, he needed a special apparatus to breathe. But I digress. Now look at him.
I love this guy.
Yeah.
I love everything he's done. I love the fact that he's getting every...
All his picks are getting through, which is nice.
Well, they've just... they just suspended doing Cash Patel.
Did they?
Yes. Which really... You know why?
Christy Noem went through.
Yeah.
In fact, I want an executive order that they have to say, like, on all newscasts, they have to refer to her as the incredibly hot and sexy Christy Noem.
All right, hold on.
She's okay.
She's okay.
I think she's hot as hell.
No, I get she's attractive.
I like the one with, I forget her name, but she wears the bikinis and all that.
Luna.
Anna Luna.
Yeah, Anna Luna. Yeah.
Anna Luna, yes.
What is she up for?
Anna Luna, she is a congresswoman in Florida.
Oh, okay. I thought she was up for a position.
No, she's...
I was going to say, how did I...
She could be, I'm sure.
Right. So... But I mean, like, there's so much going on. And then the Democrats, they don't know where to fucking go first. And then what they do is, because they have to oppose everything that Trump does, They are now against Trump taking the grift and money out of politics and cutting down. Like, he's doing everything he said he would do, and he's doing it immediately.
Doing it quick, yeah. He's moving, man.
He's deporting people. He's going into towns, and I'm telling you, he's picked a cabinet. He's got that Tom Holman.
He throws nine more of them.
Yeah.
To eject even more bodies out of the country.
And he's the other day, they said, said to Chicago, you know what? We're not going to let him in here. And then now Pam Bondi is the attorney general. And she's like, hey, you know what? Who wants to be arrested first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which one of you guys want to be arrested first? Because we will arrest you for obstructing.
How about fuckface Phil?
Phil, yeah. I was just going to say that. Yeah, Murphy.
So
he gives me a headache.
So he's sitting there the other day, and he's sitting there, and he's saying, oh, I might have someone over our garage. Tom Holman's like, where's that address?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go right the fuck over there now. Twitter get right shared, out of there now.
So many people on Twitter shared that address.
Yeah, he's not.
He's right here.
Yeah. God damn, right, I gotta get her a microphone. I, this is my biggest mistake. No, it's fine.
Now, see.
Listen.
We can pause. And you can...
How am I going to get it? I don't have another cord long enough.
Maybe you could put that mic on this.
I can slide over a little bit, right, and she can take
this. Hang on.
I'll put a marker here. Let's see what I can... Hold on. You know what? I have to stop this because I have to reconfigure everything.
Duh.
Okay.
Not a problem. Hold on. All right. We'll be back. All right, we're back.
And we're back.
Weaseled her way onto the show.
So mean.
Well, anyway, to add on to our subject, yeah, I noticed also that now Jill Biden is an Eagles fan.
Yes.
And I saw a lot of news media outlets are trying to troll, like, you know, try kind of start a shit up by saying, oh, she's there to see the Eagles. No, I don't mind. I mean, if she's an Eagles fan, I said, you know, what the fuck?
It's football.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with politics.
Right.
It's football.
So he's going to be there. He's doing the interview. And you know what? We had an old guy that was demented. They voted him in, so they say. And we had to put up with it for 4 years. I don't want to hear about Trump now. We voted for him to go in there and wreck shit.
Yeah.
We wanted him to expose stuff. We want him to go in and set up the USAID and find out where all this money's going.
Well, apparently they really struck a nerve with this USAID because
sure did.
Democrats are friggin' freaking the hell out.
I mean, well, the gravy train dried up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's people that are getting laid off. Like, listen, there are people that are getting laid off all over Washington because the gravy train is over. Now, our girl Hillary Clinton, apparently, they said that
Captain Pantsuit.
They said that her daughter got like, I don't know, $85 million.
$85 million.
Right.
For what?
I'm sure that's on the up and up.
Well, okay, so let me see if I can get to, because I have this up here where she was talking. All right, here she is.
On Wednesday, there were some false claims about my family and the Clinton Foundation. The post was deleted, or I'll put a fucking bullet in your head. No, she'd say that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's important to correct the record. We are very proud of the foundation. Ow. We are very proud of the foundation, and our CGI partners have helped millions of people across the United States and around the world. While earning top rating for charity watchdogs. It's very important. People know our family doesn't earn any from this work. In fact, checkers have repeatedly shown, because I fucking told them to,
yeah,
that foundation doesn't depend on federal grants, but we also know how many nonprofits do. At this moment, our primary concern is for all the people whose those critical programs serve. Fuck off.
Fuck them all, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my money. That's the irrefutable point to this that they don't get. That's my money being spent. not yours.
Exactly.
That was my time. That, those were my hours I worked for that shit.
Right. So
slippery.
So now they're all the Democrats, they're all marching their way down to the education building.
Oh, it's because he's supposed to be
right.
It was
so
glorious.
They've got this guy who looks like a skinhead blocking the door. And they're out there and they're like,
which probably even made them angrier.
Yeah. So he's sitting there and they're giving a bunch of shit.
Great.
He has no fucks to give.
Nope. So fresh out.
Yeah.
That wig wearing hump, Maxine Waters.
That old shrew.
She gets to the door and she starts telling this guy, look at the camera. Look at the camera. I want to see your ID. He's like, I showed you my ID. I want to see it again.
No.
Here we go.
Look them in the eye. Come on. Hold your face up. Look at them. Let him see you. This is him. Look at it. What's your name? Tell us your name. Give me that ID again. So what?
I showed you the ID.
You do what?
I showed you the
ID. Could you let me see the ID again? Huh?
No.
No? Will someone else ask him for the ID? Will you ask him for it? He won't let me see it again. You didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
So this old lady, she waddles up, this other old lady, she says, I want to see your ID. I would love him to pepper spray them. I would love him just to pull out pepper spray and just
out of the
spray.
Blue, you descend like.
Yeah,
just. This is, think about this. You got a bunch of Congress people badgering a normal everyday guy just trying to do his job.
Yep.
And then they wonder why people hate them.
It's good optics.
Yeah,
it's good optics
really
for him.
Good optics.
I should keep
there,
it up.
I celebrate this shot. I want Democrats to do this all the time. I want people to see who they are.
So Scott Bessin, I think he's in charge of the Treasury now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So he's being interviewed about these Doge people that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy lays it to rest, which now I don't know what they're going to do about this. Wait to hear this.
I'm here with U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessin in Washington. Mr. Secretary, thank you for joining me.
So good to see you.
Mr. Secretary, we are inside the cash room at the Treasury Department. It is almost impossible to overstate how important the work that is done in this building is to the U.S. financial system. Yet right now, there is widespread concern about the Doge team's access to sensitive payment systems. Are you worried at all that access and that tinkering of the payment systems could affect the Treasury's market or cause any disruption?
Good. Well, Saleha, thank you for asking me about that because there's a lot of misinformation out there. First of all, when you say the Doge team, these are Treasury employees. It is two Treasury employees, one of whom I personally interviewed in his final round. There is no tinkering with the system. They are on read-only. They are looking. They can make no changes. It is an operational program to suggest improvement. So we make 1.3 billion payments a year. And this is two employees who are working with a group of longstanding employees.
There you go.
So well said.
Yeah.
Now, what the
calm.
Fuck are they going to do now? They
calm.
Can't do anything now.
Well, everything they've done, everything that Doge is doing is totally legal. There's nothing, you know.
If not.
They're looking at things.
Yeah, they would definitely. Yeah, because Trump's.
Rewriting.
Trump's has lawyers now. And he's like, M.A., we're going to do this. I
so
don't want to stop.
Lawyers sound like that too?
No.
No, Trump's still Trump. That's just Trump.
Anyway, when we're going to do this, what I want you to do, I don't want anybody to stop us. So is there anything legally that we could do, that they could do to stop this?
Oh, he's had 4 years to think this shit over. He's
yes.
came in with
absolutely.
That's a hell of a notepad. He's scratching like,
right.
this down.
And,
note
and
to self.
To his credit, he's listening to people. Like, I know, and I believe in my heart of hearts, it's his chief of staff. Like, she probably says, okay, you, listen, mate, listen, you. What you can't do is go in here and just, like, start popping off and mouthing off to mm-hmm. these people.
Yeah.
Which,
she's tough enough to give it back to him. Like, if she's tolerated him
for
a while.
Well, to his credit, Andrew Clavin has always made the point that Trump, unlike Obama, learned from past experience.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's just like, you know, he would just like, oh, okay, well, So now he
don't do that.
Yeah, you know, like don't talk to
first,
that guy.
I mean, really, he was skunked the first year and a half, 2 years of his first.
He had
administration.
Bad advice. Yeah,
you know, he just, didn't think he was going to win.
Well, no, what had happened? Not exactly. He didn't think he was going to win. He didn't know anybody because he was an outsider. So he trusted Reince Priebus, who was the RNC chairperson at the time. Say, hey, Reince, I need a list of people that'll do work for. And they were not on the same page as Trump was.
Here's all the swampy
people.
So
then you had the Mueller investigation, all that bullshit. But then when the second, when the midterms came in and they lost the House, he was kind of stymied, but he had learned from it. And in the last year of his administration, they artificially shut down the whole country with COVID.
Yeah.
Right.
So now he had 4 years to ruminate on this stuff. He knows where all the bodies are buried. He knows where to go. And now he knows how to do this. So he does adapt and learn as a successful businessman would.
So my daughter, as we're doing this podcast,
is complaining about Trump.
She sends me stuff here. So she sends me, it's a picture of Time Magazine, President Musk at the decision table in the Oval Office. This is Time's new cover.
Yeah.
So he's behind
her. That's their new method of attack.
That's their thing now.
Right.
We didn't elect him. Well, I didn't elect Soros, and I didn't elect Fauci, and I didn't elect, what's that fucking asshole over in Brussels, the WTO guy, or, the Davos people. I didn't elect
the World Economic Forum.
I didn't elect these people, but for some reason, our government's like taking marching orders from them. So
then she sends me this. Gee, I wonder why Musk is so adamant about not letting people find out his employees' names. And then there's a tweet from Jeff Stein via the Wall Street Journal. Treasury Payment Systems was approved by a federal judge Thursday, has links to a deleted social media account that advocated for racism and eugenics. Now, what they're doing now is they're going after these kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Trying to dox them.
Right. Yep. So this 25-year-old employee, I'm not going to say his name because I'm not going to perpetuate this nonsense to the 15 people that
listen.
We'll
call him Fred Hemslaw.
There we go. Fred Hemslaw resigned Thursday after the Wall Street Journal asked the White House about his connection to this account. Now, these people are digging. Like, this was a deleted account that they actually went in and found. And so they have these people, and here's the lady that's doing this. I want her found. The journalist who got this man doxed, her name is Catherine Long. I'll say her name.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, 2 weeks before I was doxed last summer, Miss Long, this is a person that's tweeting this, sent an email to one of my local farm shops asking the owner to give her my personal details. She said she wouldn't tell anybody how. She wouldn't tell anybody how. How come it's not telling me more? It's just more.
Because you have to pay for something.
No.
It's behind the pay. I hate that when you're reading something, the paywall pops the fuck up. I'm like, God,
subscribe now.
Yeah.
How she got those details. In doing so, she broke more than one law in the UK. Here's the transcript and letter she sent. I've also attached the image of the letter. Hello, my name is Catherine Long. I'm a journalist with the Business Insider. I'm on a reporting quest, and I believe you may be able to assist me. I've been interested in some time influencing a blogger named, I'm not going to tell
Fred
you.
Fred Hemslaw.
Fred Hemslaw. Although he's from the UK, he's increasingly prominent here in the US, where he is affiliated with well-funded think tank. The Claremont Institute has been featured in Fox News documentary. His primary thesis is the man should eat more raw eggs and more raw milk as part of an ethos of a vigorous white male nationalism based on what he describes as traditional
values.
Wow,
that's
a stretch. Wow, yeah.
Right? And again,
she's not biased at all.
Well, hey, what's wrong with a vigorous white male? What's wrong
with that?
I'll
say nothing.
Well, they're vigorous and they're white.
Well, I mean, again,
clearly.
What's the I don't know what the problem is. But again, so here's this
woman.
You hate her? Catherine Long. I think we should make her famous. I think we should dox her. I think we should know everything about her.
Oh, they don't like that.
I know they don't.
Doxing is only supposed to go one way.
Well, that's why we need to do it the other way.
Well, the ratchet always turns one way.
No. There's a little thing on the back of the ratchet where you hit it.
You switch it.
And it switches it, and you go the other way. This is the only way we're going
to... That's a Republican ratchet.
This is the only way we're... Yeah, but see, that used to be the way. The Republicans used to be above all this shit. Trump's in office.
Yeah.
We're not above that shit anymore.
No,
right?
No.
We're not.
Well, that's the thing. If you're the only side that's playing by the rules and the other team is just going to do whatever
you're going to lose.
You know, and that's, Ann Coulter's been talking about this for like at least 25 years. It's like they're playing by the rules. We're playing by the rules. They're not.
Nope.
You know, so, and finally it took a Trump to like wake the party up.
It's called going to a duel with a knife and you find out the other guy's got a gun.
Right. Taking a gun, taking a knife to a gunfight. Right. Yeah. It's not going to work.
Like Obozo said.
Exactly.
And Big Mike, when they go low,
Big Mike,
we go high.
Big Mike.
With her man arms, her man biceps,
yeah,
her man traps,
her man parts,
her man floppily loppilies. That's one big labia. That's no labia. That's a
Big
cock.
Mike.
Her testa girls.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right, so Senator Klobuchar is on Cash Patel. They are freaking the fuck out that Cash Patel is going to be part of the
that's,
the
that's no here. Labia.
Warning, warning, warning.
Don't lift anything.
Allegedly.
There we go.
Don't look behind the curtain.
So anyhow, here's Amy Klobuchar. She's talking about Cash Patel because they do not want him in there at the FBI.
No.
The bodies will start falling. They'll be stacking up like firewood. So here's this.
And I look to our Republican colleagues and say, when is enough enough?
Never.
No. You know, you started this shit. Now you don't. Yeah. They start this bullshit up and they don't want to finish it.
You fucked around and the American people saw exactly what was going on and what you were doing. And now they're pissed. They want their country back. And they're not going to stop.
Well, as I'm sure you've heard, Ben Shapiro correctly elucidated that they built this machine. They put all the power in the executive branch.
Yes.
But now that somebody got in there that's
somebody else has the
levers of power, they don't like it.
They don't like it. Right.
And now they're going to piss and moan and scream and complain to their illiterate followers, you know, that this is what's going on. Yeah, you know, they just don't like it. Turnabout's fair play.
Oh. Well, since we have Kate here.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
It's all on you now.
It's kind of ominous, wasn't it?
I have a Donald Trump here tweet here. That might be able to be read by her, if that's okay.
I've only had one old fashioned, so yeah.
All right, so here's the thing.
How was it? Was it okay?
It was great when the ice melted down.
All right, so fabulous. I said, hey, by the way, I would like a way of introducing Kate doing these tweets, because when she reads them as Donald Trump, I love them. So that quickly, we had a guy go and start using AI, and he came up with this within hours. Listen to this.
Dirty tweet, read by Kate. Dirty tweets, don't hesitate. If you've got a screen, she'll be there. Reading out the tweet, she doesn't care.
That's good.
All right, Kate.
That was Jason from Harvard.
That was Jason from Harvard. Yeah, he's a very talented fellow. Very talented guy. All right, hold on. Let me show you how to get this mic where it's supposed to be.
I'm trying to see as well.
It's not a penis. You can get right up
on
it.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That came out of left field.
Thanks.
Can you see?
I can't. I'm just trying to.
Hang on. Let me get this back over here.
A bit more. Because I'm sort of old and blind. So, okay. The Gaza Strip would be turned over to the United States by Israel at the conclusion of fighting. The Palestinians, people like Chuck Schumer, would have already been resettled in a far safer and more beautiful communities with new and modern homes in the region. They would actually have a chance to be happy, safe, and free. The U.S., working with great development teams, the greatest from all over the world, would slowly and carefully begin the construction. Oh, my gosh, such a run-on sentence. The construction of what would become.
Punctuation is optional.
There's none here. of what would become one of the greatest and most spectacular developments, the best in the world, of all kind on Earth. No soldiers by the U.S. would be needed. Stability for the region would reign.
Who needs the Oxford comma?
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's going
that
to be,
was
going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful and it's going to be perfect. And, you know.
All right. So that was
the biz.
Kate reads tweets.
That's terrible.
Dirty tweets read by Kate. She's got the feed. She's got the bait. When you need a
get an outro also.
I do. Thank you, Jason.
Tweets, she's the key.
There you go. I love that.
That's pretty cool.
So what he did was he went and he asked ChatGPT to write a script in the as AC/DC for like Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. They tweaked it. Then he went to some other AI thing and had him sing it. I mean, AI is amazing.
It was phenomenal. He came out with it.
I'm fucking around with the whole graphics thing, and some of the shit you can do is really cool.
It's amazing.
I'm trying right now to use, like, I use Gronk, but Gronk cuts off the images and just pisses me off. Like, I want a big, gives you a square, and I need a big, like, I wanted Trump as a sheriff, like, new sheriff in town.
Yeah.
And it cuts his hat off. I was like, fuck.
It's hard to get it. You know,
well, you know, a 10-gallon hat, it does, you know.
Yeah, but I need it for my graphic. I can't have him with a fucking cut-off hat.
Truncated like hat?
Yeah, I don't need a truncated
Trumpcated.
Hat.
Nobody needs that. Yeah. Right.
Who needs that?
Ain't nobody
shit?
Got time for that.
Nobody's got time for that shit.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I don't understand. Like
I just
said.
Just have to have that. Yeah, all right.
There we go. I'll be set up better when we do this the next time.
Yeah,
you know what it is.
I
forget about this until it's like the day before, and I'm like, "Oh shit, I need to make a list of everything, and then come over here once a day and then get."
Obviously, the answer is that everybody should have a laptop.
That's true, but Joe doesn't have one that he's going to bring
fuck
over here.
Joe. No, if we all had like a laptop.
Yeah, but what the fuck do I do? Did I need a laptop?
Well, I sent you with the our messages. I sent you a thing, the notes, so you
I read
can see the notes.
So I know what's going on. That's all. Exactly. That's all I need to know is what's going on.
Exactly.
He's been made rest of the situations as well.
Right.
Aware.
That's all you need to know.
We could actually move the liquor cart behind me, and you can like.
Well, if I would have known this,
I have probably to say this is an incredible liquor cart.
You like that,
it
huh?
It makes me feel like a real raging alcoholic.
I love that it's looking right next to you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so handy.
You can hang glasses here. There's room for wine bottles. I mean.
Yeah. I was fucking around. Yes. I know how to.
No, clearly not.
Right. What was I going to do next? I had something. Oh, I know.
It almost looks like if the layman came down here, it looks like this is where the whole focus was. And the mixing board was like, yeah, fuck it. This will work.
All right, so we've been on Trump for a while. Let's move off of that.
Yeah.
So there is a comedian, and when I heard this, I was like, this is definitely right up our alley. He is talking about, like, having children.
I would have a kid tomorrow if I could parent my kids the way that I was parented, because my parents were never fucking with us. My mother's favorite thing to say was, get out of my sight. That was her favorite thing to say. Get out of my sight. You know, if we came home from school, if we were in the house more than 2 minutes and it wasn't raining, she'd be like, what are you doing in my house? Get the fuck out of my house. Are you watching all my children? No, then get the fuck out of the house. It's not your time. Myself and my brothers would disappear for hours on our own, unattended, like out
mommy,
on the street.
Say,
the only thing that would bring
mom,
us home was hunger and
traffic.
The moon. That was it. Outside on our own, unattended. And of course, guys my age, people, my friends, we love to wax lyrical about the good old days of going outside to play on your own. And then young people always say, yeah, but you could go outside and play back in the day because society was safer back then.
The fuck it was.
You didn't know about
that's
it.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't have a 24/7 news cycle back then.
Yeah.
Right. So
not only that, and I'll.
Apparently, only all news happened between 6 and 6:30 and 11 and 11:30. Nothing else. The whole world shut down in between those times.
That, but anything we did, we pretty much did in a gang.
Yes.
When we were kids.
Yeah.
With a mob.
Now, yeah. If any adult, and it, we have personal experiences. Remember we were walking in the mall that time and that guy came out of the woods and he was like kind of like, you know.
Yeah, a little shaky.
Yeah. He was like a little sketchy guy. Hey, you kids. He's like,
so what'd you do? Throw rocks at him? Because
oh,
what
we yeah. Well, he quickly learned that you don't
fuck with Gibbsboro.
You don't fuck with a bunch of kids.
We're going to find out.
We'll right. kill you. Yeah. And we were going to kill him. You know, he ran away.
Yeah, there was like 4 or 5 of us. And it was yeah. like, you know, we were, I don't know, what were we like between 12 and 14 maybe.
14. Yeah, and this guy.
You know, and it was like, yeah, you're in the prime of your life. You're never going to get winded.
Right.
I remember yeah. I could run 73 miles one way and not be winded. It was,
it was
I
crazy.
Wish I could do that now.
All right. So he continues.
Wrong. Society was not safer back then. We just didn't know how unsafe it was. Watch any of these Netflix documentaries. They all begin the same way. Somebody goes, back then we just didn't know. We didn't know. We were clueless. Predators everywhere. A van could have pulled up and been like, hey, kids, get in. We would have been like, yeah, we've seen Scooby-Doo. Let's ride. Let's go. Once we don't go to the abandoned amusement park, I think we're going to be okay. Outside on our own, unattended, in the 80s. he's in New York. This is what makes me laugh. People are like, oh, society was safer back then. You watch any of these fucking documentaries about the 80s in New York?
Oh,
it was fucking chaos. Plus, we were on the street. No fucking speed bumps. No four-way stop signs. No fucking parents. Just two-hand touch on the street. And we were fine. Now you can't go outside, even though society's safer. I feel bad for these kids. Society's safer, and they can't go out and enjoy it. Parents are like, don't go out there. There's peanuts out there. Don't go out there. There's peanuts.
And it is true, because look at all the surveillance, the cameras.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere.
Everywhere. You saw that plane crash in Northeast Philly. I've never seen so many fucking angles of this fucking crash.
Thanks, Ring.
You know the one place where you won't find cameras? Where you need them? Classroom.
Ah.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny? You're right. There should be.
I think parents should
be able
to
access. Well, if it wasn't for, like, you know, Waffle House videos. Like,
right. Wow. Here's grainy.
The
thing.
Probably the most well-documented covered piece is Waffle House.
Well, the other thing is, too, like Joe would say, we didn't need classroom videos back in the day. If the teacher said you were fucking off, you got an ass whooping when you came home. It wasn't
fucking off.
Yeah, you were fucking off, and you were getting an ass whooping. There wasn't really too many teachers that didn't do that. Now, I went to Catholic school with real nuns. They beat your ass.
As opposed to the artificial nuns?
Right, that they have now. And then when you got home.
No nuns at all.
And then when you got home, it wasn't bad enough. Them fucking penguins would call your house and tell you that you got a beating, and then you got another beating when you got home.
Listen to this story.
Oh, you weren't.
Quick story. My buddy Darren, he went to,
Holy Cross.
Yeah, Holy Rosary.
Holy Rosary, yeah.
You know.
And, Holy Cross is where we're from.
Yeah. Well, he was misbehaving for CCD or whatever it was and everything. Mm-hmm. They kept him after school and everything. Well, he went to the detention room and there was no one there. So he waited for about 10 minutes and there was no one around. So he said, fuck it. He got up and he left. He walked about a mile and a half to his house.
Who walks a mile and a half to their house anymore?
Well, no, not anymore, but back then. But it's about a mile and a half to his house. He says he's almost home, and all of a sudden he hears footsteps behind him. He turns around, and there's the fucking nun coming at him with a big pointer stick over her head. Jesus. And this is on the side of Evesham Road, like on the highway.
Hey, I was...
So she catches him and starts beating the shit out of him right there on the roadside.
Cars just driving by.
Cars just driving by watching a spectacle.
Like, that's justice.
Dragged him all the way back to Holy Rosary and he had to sit there and fight.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
You didn't walk to school?
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay. You didn't have to walk that far?
In high school, I walked. And,
yeah, we walked all 12 years and...
Yeah, Catholic school, there wasn't any buses. Matter of fact, we had a midget.
Well, you didn't go to Catholic high school, did you?
No. I got kicked out in fifth grade, but like...
Fifth grade?
Kindergarten up until fifth grade, we used to walk to school, and there was a busy intersection, and there was a midget, George the Midget, and he was out there. He was the crossing guard, George the Midget. And
he always stopped the Volkswagen Bugs, though, right?
No, he would come out. He would come out
with a dryer sentence.
He had like a big pouch.
He used to drive.
He met his death when.
No, he used to drive.
Mini Coopers and Volkswagen Bugs. He would go out there and, you know, okay,
he would drive.
Clown cars.
A green Rambler, and he would park across the street, and then he would be out there and he'd have a sign. He would come out, stop people, and you would cross the street. Everybody knew George the Midget. He was there, and then, you know.
Rest in peace,
George. Was he referred to as George the Midget to his face?
Probably.
He was referred to as George the Midget. Back then, I lived right across the street from a playground, and there was this one guy. He was
because you didn't want to mix him up with George the Cyclops.
Well, not only did we have George the Midget in my town, but we had Joe the Retard. Joe the Retard.
Oh, no.
Joe the Retard. Would be,
oh,
he
70s.
Would come, he was very, he was a nice guy, but he was
just retarded.
He was retarded, and he would be in there, and you'd be on the swings and all, and he would come over and, you know, if you were doing the swings, he would come over and swing in.
Now, how retarded was he? He was like,
So wait, how old was he?
See, I was a little kid, so everybody seemed old.
Everyone's old when you're eight.
So I would say he was probably in his 30s.
So a grown man,
right.
Albeit retarded, was hanging out at the playground,
out.
Pushing kids.
Everybody knew Joe the retard.
That's the video right
now,
there.
Let's be clear about hanging out.
Yeah. So everybody knew Joe the retard. And I lived, the town that I lived in was close to the river. And then one day, Joe the retard went, it was summertime, he went out and he went swimming and poor Joe the retard drowned.
Joe and the then, retard was, that's why he was not known as Joe the swimmer.
Right. He wasn't. Yeah. He was Joe the retard.
The Olympian swimmer.
He's now known as Joe the anchor.
Well, Joe the retard floated up in Paulsboro, and then they found his, they hooked his bloated
Joe
body.
The methane bag.
Yes.
All right. That's a sin.
And then we'd have any problems.
Poor Joe the retard.
Rest in peace, Joe.
We'd have any more problems.
Little did Joe know that he would give so much joy to millions.
But
40 years later, when podcasting came along.
Well, I'll tell you this. I graduated high school, and George the Midget was still crossing people to go to that Catholic
school. Oh,
that doesn't
go away just because you're short.
Yeah, no, right. I understand that. But, I mean, George the Midget.
I think your chops might be limited.
He was there for years, 10, 15
long
years
time,
that I know that he was down there, George
the Midget. And we had Mrs. Wrist and Bat.
Oh.
All right, let's go.
Now you're Mrs. DeVito. Your Mrs. Wristenbat was the music team.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were both fat.
Mrs. DeVito. Yeah, yeah, Mrs. And DeVito. I still say that. And as Mrs. DeVito would say,
All right, let's go. Just like bellow at the kids.
Yeah.
And you had
she
to
would
go.
Scream at you if you stand in too close. Get away from that curb. And you'd be like, Jesus.
It's very Sister Mary Elephant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was. She was like that.
But back then.
Then we got Mrs. Crane after that.
Yeah.
You didn't know.
Howie Schwartz got the ass kicking of his life from Chucky Crane.
Right.
When he said something about his mom, who was the crossing guard, he lumped up Howie.
But, even George the Midget, when we would call him George the Midget. I was down there. Oh, and if George the Midget got sick, you go there. Where's George the Midget? George the Midget's not there. So we'd have to cross on our own.
So it was like Joey the Tall? Like,
no, just George the Midget. But again, nobody
Johnny
was offended.
Johnny the Giant.
Nobody was offended by
Jimmy
George
the Giant.
Well,
yeah,
you know, when I was growing up, I guess when I was, I don't know how old I was before I started playing football, I was known as Fat John. I was always Fat John. All right. I wasn't even fat back then.
Was there another John there?
No, I was just fat.
That's the magic of nicknames. Because it wasn't like there was like three other Johns there.
Yeah.
It was like, Johnny Stutterer, Johnny, Fat John.
And, right. It was Fat John. Now I'm still Fat John. But, back then there was a few years where I wasn't Fat John. Few. Not that many.
Yeah. It's like funny because with nicknames, because when I had you used to hang out in my store.
Yeah.
So everybody, whether they liked it or not, they wound up getting a nickname, but they weren't
like... Well, that's what we did.
But they weren't like, malicious or anything like that. So we had, if you smoked.
Right.
You'd be like, okay, here comes Parliament John.
Okay.
Because obviously you're going to have like 900 more Johns coming in the store. Right. So it'll be like Marlboro John, Marlboro Lights John, Parliament John, that's how it wound up being. Cool. And the reason that happened, we had to it counted up to there was... Sometimes it would be the car that you drove or the brand of cigarette that you smoke or whatever you bought. That's what you became.
Charlie Partagas.
Charlie Partagas. Yeah, Charlie Partagas was another one. So it came, we had to really, really, really break it down because we had these two girls named Cindy and they both drove white neons and they both smoked Parliament. So I was like, Jesus, we're running out of options here. Finally, ultimately, it came down to decaffeinated coffee. So it became like, here comes decaffeinated Cindy. So and we would have her cigarettes swaying for her. That's how we knew, who was who. Then it was Mr. Softy. You ever heard the Mr. Softy story?
No.
He doesn't even know his name was Mr. Softy.
Oh, well, that happened.
Well, this guy was...
Performance issues?
Well, no. This guy
how
was
did
about,
you know?
This guy was about 6 foot. No lie, he was about 6'5", 6'6".
Jesus.
Okay. You just see a guy like that, you're like... I'm only 5'10", so I'm going to look up at this guy. This guy was really fucking tall. He had a big-ass pickup truck like you have, So one day he got out of the car, and he dropped his keys. And he bent over to pick up his keys, and when he did...
Oh, no.
He's bald.
He's bald!
But what? The way we know he was bald was because he grew his hair so long...
The comb?
Well, not a comb-over. It was a turban.
Oh no!
This guy must have so we called him Mr. Softy because the top of his head looked like Mr. Softy on the side of the truck. So he would be coming up, and we'd be like, "Oh, here comes Mr. Softy!" And then Larry, of course, all right. And he got his cigarettes, and he had them waiting on the countertop, for him to come in. So we used to use this all the time, and we never even thought about it. I was like, "Okay, here comes Mr. Softy." And I had said that one time. I was like, yo, Mike, when Mike was right, yo, Mike, here comes Mr. Softy. And there was this woman in the store with her kid. And He was all excited.
Oh, I thought ice cream.
He thought the ice cream man was coming into the parking lot.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
That kid was so disappointed.
He's like looking out the window, and the mother's all perplexed. Like, yeah. Why would they say that? You know, we had to play dumb.
Well, I mean, you remember the one guy, he was the bitter chink. And then when we were allowed to
bitter
say—
Bitter Asian man.
Well,
bitter
once, man. Once we got politically correct, he became the bitter Asian man.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, I mean—
Oh, go ahead.
I'm just saying that you're right. We had all those nicknames.
We had, when I worked for my uncle in his store, me and Knox used to work together. We had these two women. They were both exhibitionists. And we just started calling them, here's my ass. Because, yeah, that's what we called them. Here comes, here's my ass. Because when they came in at the one woman, and we had to differentiate them because it was here's my ass light and here's my ass dark. Because one was a dark-haired brunette,
oh,
and the other one had, like, sandy-colored hair.
Okay.
Well, the thing was, now, they're both married, but they would get all dressed up suggestively, and they'd come in, and they would just do things to, like, try to get your attention. And one woman was really, she would, like, bend straight. She would wear real high shorts and bend straight over right in front of you and stuff like that. And, you know, oh, gee, you know. She came in one day. We were selling these beef jerkies called the Big Daddy Beef Stick.
I'll bet.
No, there you
no
go.
No kidding. So naturally, she's saying, oh, I want a Big Daddy Beef Stick. Like, say this to you. And you're like, and you got to, like, play along. Like, you know, like,
double
you're not dealing
tundra,
with the,
yeah, yeah.
You're not dealing with the innuendo there and all that. But we had all these nicknames for these people.
Yeah, we Big don't Daddy have that anymore because everybody gets offended.
Now, when you worked in Berlin, you had... Klinger was still around by then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He was there. He was around for a long time. Yeah,
Klinger was a psychopath. We believe that Klinger took a lot of acid in the 60s.
Okay.
Because Klinger would wear women's boots, black suede, like knee-high boots.
Nice.
He was a scrawny dude, so they would obviously fit. He might have been like 5'7", 5'8",
yeah,
something
guy.
Like that. And he was just a mess. You would see him walking up and down the White Horse Pike between Berlin and, say, Chesilhurst.
Okay.
Like
sometimes he'd have like a bathrobe or something.
Yeah.
Something like that on.
So one time a guy Klinger came in and everything, and he was just like, you could see he was spaced out. So everyone, like all the townspeople knew this guy. So they all just like clammed up, and hey, what's up? And I got him his cigarettes and I rang him up, and he rambled around a little bit, and then he walked out. And then I said, wow, we got off easy that time. And one guy said, yeah, I'll say. Last week, I came out of here and he was having a hell of an argument with my Oldsmobile.
Oh, no.
He was standing there screaming. I'm like, what? He was screaming at this car's car. You dirty MRF-er. You're like, wow.
Well, now you just jogged my memory. I forgot about when we had George the Midget. We had Joe the Retard and we had John the Drunk. John, a drunk, was an alcoholic.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
As his name was.
Kind of on the nose there.
And one of the things he would do is, like, guys would go and get him beer, and they would make him do things for beer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he would do it.
Did they do it like this?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, yeah.
Hurry up. Go get it.
So, and then, you know, you'd say, people would ride by and he'd be sitting on a corner all hungover in the morning and they'd say, hey, John the Drunk. And he'd get up, he'd shoot you the finger or whatever. And then he started pulling his pants down and showing you his member.
Oh, everyone likes that.
And then that's when the cops stepped in and would have him arrested. But, you know, he hung around for a long time too, John the Drunk.
Now, I'm a musician, as you know, and I've been back in the 80s, I played in bands, or late 80s and all that. And especially if you went to, it was Dick Lee's and it became the Pennant. There was a guy there
Pennant.
Called Freedom Rock. Remember the old commercial?
Hey, man, turn it up.
Right, yeah. Hey, is that Freedom
so
Rock?
So like Nugent and Skinner,
well, yeah. This guy looked just like one of the hippies. He had the round spectacles.
The mirrored sunglasses.
No, not him. He had the round spectacles. He had a beard and all that and long hair and everything. Okay, so everybody started calling him Freedom Rock. Now, this guy's been around he's still around. I might see him this weekend.
No
he's,
kidding.
Yeah, and his actual name is Dave, but everybody just calls him Freedom Rock. He's a lot older now, and he's like a living landmark. Yeah. Everybody knows, he's like a celebrity. Everybody knows who the fuck he is.
Well, we had Philly Jesus. There was a guy.
Yeah, Philly Jesus.
Philly Jesus, he would walk around dressed like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then we had Tiny Dancer. Tiny Dancer was like a homeless guy. And he would, in the summertime, he'd be all dressed in like a wool cap and, you know, all, it was like hot as hell out. And he'd be wearing all this clothing. And he would walk out like when the red light was out, when the red light was there, and he would walk out in the middle of the street and he would start spinning around and dancing and all this stuff. And then the light would turn green and he would just stop and then walk off and just stand there. And then he would do that for hours a day. So you, and he was never in the same spot. Like one day he'd be by City Hall and the other day he'd be
somewhere.
Yeah,
they move around.
Like, yeah, and then he'd say, oh, look, there's Tiny Dancer. You know, you can't do that anymore. The reason I say that is some teachers in New Jersey got in trouble because they came in and it was one of those dress down days and they were all wearing golf.
What do you mean, like a casual Friday kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a group of teachers in New Jersey wore Gulf of America t-shirts.
I saw this. I think I saw this story. Yeah.
And this was at Belleville High School. And the t-shirts apparently referenced an executive order from President Donald Trump to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. All right. I don't know how you guys felt. But when he first said, I'd like to change the name of Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America.
It has a beautiful ring to it. It's a beautiful
ring. Right.
So the most beautiful ring.
Right. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, what the fuck? What is he doing?
I'm on board with it.
Right. So I'm sitting there and I'm working and all of a sudden I'm like, why isn't it the fucking Gulf of America? Why isn't it the Gulf of Mexico?
It makes more sense. Now I could go either way. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Okay. But it does make more sense that it would be the Gulf of America because
Mexico's a shithole country.
Not only that,
I will.
60% of the
I'll be euphemistic. It's a developing nation,
right?
Still,
2/3 of the landmass surrounding it is the United States.
And well, America. South America, Central America,
right? Yeah.
The United States of America,
the Gulf of America, right? You know what the Aztecs used to call it?
Ooga booga?
Tehectahotican or something like that.
They called it the ocean because I didn't know what the fuck it was. I couldn't see the other side.
Like the Led Zeppelin song, The Ocean.
Oh, that's the ocean.
All right. So then some fucking do-gooder, another teacher,
of course,
took to social media to denounce what she called an attempt to bully Latino students who feared Trump's threatening immigration and customs enforcement raids.
Oh, fuck.
Let me read her statement. Our student body has been suffering, crying, and coming into school emails from kids saying that their parents are not letting them come back for fear that they will be picked up by ICE raids.
Bye.
Our job is to support these kids and reassure them that the school is a safe place.
I thought their job was to educate.
To teach them, yeah.
And to come here. And I feel those t-shirts at Bellevue High School are sending a clear message to these kids in order to intimidate and bully them. On Tuesday, a letter was sent to parents and staff in the school community in which he acknowledged a recent situation that had caused the concern within our school community and said the matter was being addressed internally. Here's another quote.
Just like that, too. It's being addressed internally.
Last week, a group of staff members wore coordinated clothing that some students and staff found offensive.
Oh, fuck the students.
What level school was this?
High school.
They don't care.
We understand that this has impacted members of our community in different ways, and we take these concerns seriously. Bellevue High School is 73% Hispanic, according to the latest State Department of Education data. And we recognize that political discourse can be especially charged, and we encourage thoughtful actions and respectful conversations among our students and staff. We are committed to working together to enrich our schools and remain a positive learning experience.
So we'll be handing out the LGBTQ+ literature to help them deal with it. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So at first I was like, what the fuck, right? But to me, I got to be honest with you, I'm almost to where I'm agreeing with this guy for the simple fact that what if they came in saying that, you know, human rights are, you know, there's, you know, no humans are illegal or something like that. And they were wearing those kind of t-shirts. I don't believe that you should subject students to this kind of, and I'm going to use the word propaganda because I don't know what other word to use. And so I understand it was
inculcation.
Inculcations.
Yes, that's a fractal language.
Exactly. Here's how I feel. Okay, I agree totally with what you're saying. I think we should get all political activism out of our schools.
I do.
Okay? I agree with that.
But here's the thing. If you're going to do it one way, you got to have it the other way.
Right.
You can't have, oh, we got rainbow.
It's either all or nothing. All
they want a cafeteria.
Love
style.
Is love and all that bullshit. But then when somebody, oh, well, I didn't like that. That's offensive. You know, you can't do that.
Well, then they call them a bigot.
Just get it. Yeah, right. Just get it all out.
I agree. There should be none of this stuff in school.
Right.
But I did find it funny that they were.
Yeah. Well, that's what that's about. I think that's what's driving that. It's like, oh, okay, we had to put up with this shit. Now you're going to put up with ours.
Pendulum swung the other way.
Right. They don't like that.
Right.
Well, if it wasn't for double standards,
we'd have
progressives at all. No standards
none
at all.
I'm just, like I said, I go back to the fact that I love the fact that the left is melting down and they're taking every 20% in a 20-80.
80-20.
80-20, 20-80. They're taking the 20.
They're taking the 20.
Thank you. That's what I just said.
Yeah, that's what you said it in reverse.
What's the difference whether I take the 20?
Are you aware that you are not thinking? Every time Herb would say, are you aware? We would just automatically tune everything after that out because it was so to us it said like, well, are you aware that if you do...
Because
we just tuned them completely out.
Are you aware if there's 100% and someone takes 20%, the other people take 80%? And not always does the 80% have to be in front of the 20%.
In other words, that he along that lines, Herbism was like, for your edification. We had no fucking idea what he said.
Spit coming out.
Yeah, it just, you know.
What a winner.
Just, you're like driving like in a vacuum. You're just like.
Shut.
You know there's noise going on around you. You just
turn the radio up.
You just want to hit the brakes real hard so his head hits the dashboard.
Well, that's how I wanted to die. I wanted to be on 295 driving with Herb and just have like a major cardiac arrest and my head like slams onto the horn. Like, and then you just do the roll like through the median strip. There's a debris field of Newport cigarettes for about 180 yards. You know, they find,
borrowed materials.
Yeah, they find Herb's broken body. I'm like, oh, like I'm.
He gets ejected from the car. He's like,
oh, the passenger's the bed seat.
That'd be great.
I'm flying.
I think I'm dying.
I don't think this is going to end well for me.
I didn't tell this when Mac was here the last time. Mac. But I was driving, and it was the end of the day, and Herb would like doze off because he was old. So we were driving down 295. And I'm like, that motherfucker, he's sitting here sleeping real nice. Like real mommy nice, would say, nice. Real nice, sleeping in the seat and everything. So I was driving along and I went over to the left and I just slammed the wheel real hard to the right and he smashed his head against the side of the fucking window. And I, oh, Herb, are you all right? A deer jumped in the road. Like, oh, yeah, I saw it.
You saw it.
Yeah, I got one past the
every
goalie.
Every half hour, right?
Yeah,
like,
all right. Yeah. Then it was the fist fight you were in that he saw. Yeah, yeah. We didn't even know about it.
I didn't even know Herb. I mean, he witnessed me in action.
I didn't even know that he had saw it. I wasn't even working for Laura Lord then.
Yeah.
You know,
that
when
was
that
me.
Happened.
That was me.
I had to cover 7-Eleven, and like, yeah, me and Mitchum were here one time, and we saw a hell of a fist fight between some guy and some other guy, and and he's telling the story. I'm like, wow, how hot shit, that was my brother. Yeah, what? You know, so like, you know, it's a small world.
I never got cold cocked ever before. That was the first time I ever got sucker punched in the face.
Oh.
And I didn't like it.
No, who does?
No one does.
No.
I was funny. I was working for Executive Coffee. So that day I'm wearing like a shirt and tie. I had gone to my father's restaurant for lunch. I had to go back to the office, pick up some stuff and go on the way. Well, on the way to the office, some car pulls up to me. It's a guy in the passenger seat. His wife's driving. That tells me he's a loser right off the get-go. Mm-hmm. And he goes, hey, zip face. I had a lot of acne back then. And I thought it might have been a guy I knew, like one of my friends, you know. I'm looking at some
term of
what's up, the face? What's up? So I gave him the finger. Oh, yeah, you want to go? So I drive away, give him the finger. I drive away. Go back to the office, gather up my things. I come back down pretty much the same way that I had come from. And there was a 7-Eleven. I said, you know what? Let me get a nice tea for the ride because I had to go into Philly and all. I go into the 7-Eleven, park the car, you know, turn it off, open the door, get out, step out. I stand up and bam, all of a sudden, I'm like, fuck. I'm getting laid out. I mean, I did not see it coming. Here, the guy was there. And he, when I pulled in, he thought I was coming back, you know, to give him some. And all. So now I got this, I got blood going at my mouth is gushing blood and everything. I start attacking, he started going at it. I guess he was maybe 10 years older. He looked like he was about 30. I was only like 20 at the time. So we're going at
haymakers.
Yeah. So now I got the guy pinned down on the against the asphalt and everything, and blood's dripping in his face, and I'm punching him and all that. Now his wife gets involved. His wife. And the thing that really made me feel bad, this guy had his kids with him in the back seat.
Oh, no.
What a schmuck.
That goes away.
And these kids are screaming, and I feel bad.
Yeah, they might have been used to that.
Because now I got
to
beat the shit out of the father in front of the kids. So now the wife gets involved. She had like a spray paint can, a can of something. And she's beating me on the head of it. So now I'm like Kramer. I'm fighting her on one side, and I'm beating her. And I got my husband pinned down. I'm fighting these. And the cops showed up, and then they broke us up. The kids were screaming.
Fighting the kids?
Oh, it was pandemonium. I got all this shit going on. Here, Herb and Mitchum witnessed all this shit and tells me this later on.
Yeah, like a couple of years went by. Like years went by. Yeah, me and Mitchum saw a hell of a fight there one time. Yeah, this one. And then the girl got involved. The wife got involved. Like, oh, that was my brother. And then you go, what?
Herb.
The magic of Herb.
The magic of Herb.
The gift that keeps on giving.
I know. All right. Anything else, guys? I don't know if we got any, because I'm out.
You're fresh out of shit.
I don't know. I'm out. I'm looking for topics. If you guys got something you want to talk about.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Building on the Trump thing.
Yes.
I am a motherfucker now. Officially. There's this girl that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. And she absolutely hates Trump.
Is this who I think it is?
Yeah. It might be. Yeah. And.
Skyscraper?
Yeah. Okay. Right. She's absolutely, I mean, she's really fucking lost it. I counted it up. Every hour on the hour, she posts another thing on Facebook.
Oh my God, stop.
I mean, she's really bad. Now, not only am I a motherfucker, my friend Ed is a motherfucker. My friend Carolyn's a motherfucker. We're all motherfuckers.
Yeah, because they've lost
because we voted for this guy. You motherfucker. And right?
So, taking away my rights.
So somebody said, hey, you need to calm down. You know, we're your friend. We don't just, you know, just,
if you vote for that,
you can unfriend me right now. Racist, rapist,
right.
Convicted felon.
Right. Okay. So we're all motherfuckers, but there's nothing wrong with you posting every hour on the hour or something. That's
does she work?
Yeah. Are you fucking nuts?
Get a life.
Like, are you working right now? What are you doing? Does your boss know you're doing this shit?
It was weeks ago. I'm recording a podcast for Samantha and Lisa. They were out somewhere, like they had traveled somewhere and they needed somebody to record for them. So I'm down here. It's like 9 o'clock at night. I want to be anywhere else but where I'm at. So those two are yapping away about whatever they're doing on their podcast. And I'm sitting there like looking at my phone and all of a sudden I get a text. And it's a girl that I used to date like a long time ago. And she's like, I can't believe that you want this misogynistic.
Rapist, convicted felon, blah, blah,
all this other
orange
shit.
Man bad.
The whole friggin'.
And I said, well, yeah, I'd rather have somebody that has his faculties than some kind of demented bag of oatmeal that's in the office. And she says, I thought I knew you and you're disgusting and you have daughters. And then she says, and your podcast sucks, and you're not funny. You
which
think
one?
Funny.
That's so rude.
Which one?
Like,
which
now one? That's it. Now it's on.
Yeah, did she dial all into which one?
No.
All of them.
So I think life should have a soundtrack, so whenever I talk about how great the country is, I just want to, like, go, ah, damn it. This will be cleaned up on post-hop.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Depends on how drunk I am.
So just like... just have John Philip Sousa music playing in the background anytime you want to say something.
So then right before his inauguration, I think it was the weekend before because it was Monday, right? Monday was when he took the oath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
January 20th.
Martin Luther King Day.
Every time.
All right. So she sends me a message and she says, you just wait to see what happens Monday. And I'm like, all right, what's okay. happening Monday?
Right. Big wow, what's she up to?
Well, yeah, right. That's what I'm
the big party.
So then he gets it, you know, he swears in and he does his stuff. So then I go, so I message her back. I go, what was supposed to happen? Lose my number. Stop talking to me. Why do you keep?
Right. Yeah.
So it's one of these where they can contact you whenever they want
right.
and yeah. say whatever they want. But as soon as you contact them.
How dare you?
Couple weeks ago, he starts mixing it up on Facebook.
Yeah, I didn't do anything. I just commented to the guy that
posted.
Yeah, he comments. It's
fucking Don Thomas comes out of fucking nowhere.
Comes nowhere starts giving him a bunch of shit. So then I shoot him the little meme with the woman's face twitching, like saying triggered.
Yeah.
It sounds like it looks like somebody's a little. Well, now she starts riding on me. You're convicted of felon. Right? So I start going. I said, "Fuck it! I'm starting to engage this bitch."
I love it.
The best.
Here's how it all started out. A guy that was in our town. He moved back to Alabama, and like Bob Country, and he posted like when did the mean tweet start, and when does gasoline get real cheap?
Right, that's the other thing.
And I had commented, I was like, well, the gas will come down. I says it's going to take a while. I mean, after 4 years of this nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the markets will rebound and gas will get cheaper. That's all I said.
Right.
And all of a sudden, fucking Don Thomas comes out of the fucking blue. Yeah. Like,
well, these retards, you know, just like, they think that Trump gets into office and all of a sudden egg prices drop.
Like instantaneously.
Yeah, right.
Right. Meanwhile, and I know this to be a fact, that there's this avian flu going around.
Well, yeah, that's the biggest thing with the
and
eggs.
Yeah, yeah, and they're killing chickens. Right. I mean, they're slaughtering them by
tens of thousands.
If that wasn't Biden's fault, what else were they going to do? But
right,
the
but what
fact
I'm saying,
of the matter well, is, here, if here's, they kill all these chickens, there's no eggs.
Yeah. Well, here's what Biden did do, and like, I love to engage them with logic because they can't handle that. Okay. First of all, we shut down the economy for the pandemic. All right.
Yes.
Now,
never
who did
that?
Right. Who did that?
Well, Trump did.
Well, he didn't want to do it.
Wait a minute.
Well, he allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's his
remember,
fault.
They were screaming,
well, he took advice.
Well, they were screaming at him. Well, he wants the economy.
He's the man in charge. He allowed it to happen.
Right,
so it's
right,
his
right.
fault. That's
well,
all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, he knows well, that now that he was held to blame. Well, but at the time, he's relying on government agencies to do the better good. He didn't know that they had an agenda.
I agree with everything you said.
Anyway, okay. That was the first thing.
Okay.
So that created, now everybody's locked down. Trucks aren't moving. Shipments aren't moving. That created shortages. That mm-hmm. jacked up the price because the demand went up. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's part one. Then Biden gets in office. First thing that fucking asshole does, oh, I'm going to close down the Keystone Pipeline and we're going to shut down petroleum. Okay. Now you reduce the amount of petroleum being produced.
Then a fucking war breaks out.
While demand
in
is still high and the war breaks out, what do you think the prices are going to do? They go shooting skyward. That's number two. Then number three, he decided to print up $1 trillion of money, put it into circulation to pay for these programs. That devalues the dollar, makes it shrink. What else happens? Now they think this is just going to go away in only a week of Trump.
Overnight. Yeah.
As well, by magic.
Days in 11 days.
Here's the issue. Once they shut this thing down, which I understand, 2 weeks to stop the spread, I get that kind of thing. But then some states like Florida,
they didn't stop.
DeSantis said, you know what? I'm looking at this thing and this is not how they should do this. And so he opens up the state. Meanwhile, all the blue states keep
the Sweden model.
Yeah. Right. All these blue states, they all keep everything locked down, shut down. They're killing businesses, killing
people,
basically people. And then Trump's trying to get the states open back up again. They won't open back up again because they want the economy to tank because they know
because
the election's coming up.
It was a godsend to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So they did all this. They fucked the American people just so they could get Biden in office. So I 100%, but thank God, because if Trump was in office for another 4 years, I don't think he would have had the wherewithal that he does now. And he wouldn't have went in and did what he's doing.
Oh, right he now. Definitely came in schooled.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so
he's got a lot more brains.
Right.
Now.
They fucked him over.
Beans.
Well, they fucked themselves too, because if he had one, they'd be done with him now.
Yep.
Now I got to deal with him until 2020.
Now he's
years.
Fixing shit. Right?
Yeah.
And they're screaming and they're looking like fucking morons. And, you know, 20% of America is stupid and believe everything that the mainstream media.
Wow, yeah. You're being generous with a number that low.
Yeah.
I think so. What do you think?
I think it's closer to half.
I think it's
you
roughly
think half of the people were that stupid.
Yes.
I work with them.
Okay. I understand. But I mean, there's a lot of moderates out there. They're like, you know.
Moderate's just a code word for Democrat in waiting.
All right. Hmm. But in other words, they see what's going on and they're not blinded. They're not blind faith people. I say you got 20% on the right that are blind faith in whatever Trump does. You got 20 on the left that are blind faith, whatever the Democrats do. And then you've got the 60% in the middle that are like, you know what? I want my, you know, I want my kids to be able to buy a house. I want groceries to be better. I want to be able to take a vacation. You know, all this other stuff. I don't want to have to pay all my money. I don't have to work two jobs and all this shit. So, but he's got to keep this going. Meanwhile, now the Democrats, they're doing everything they can to throw roadblocks and landmines.
Oh, they're impeaching him again.
Oh, no.
Oh, did you see that?
I didn't think they were going to get a guy that looks like a thawed out caveman to do that.
He looks like
Jesus Christ.
Looks like a fucking Klingon, man.
I'm not exactly. I mean, I could say this as an international sex symbol, but that guy looks like a real fucking Neanderthal. I mean,
he reminds me of
I've heard of him. You know, I've never seen him until he was waving that cane around. And Jesus, wow, you got. I mean, his hairline starts here.
Yeah.
He's got the prenatal ridge going. It's like he's like he is Neanderthal man.
I think
descended
that
from
we
for
need to
Al Green. Al Green.
Al Green.
Yeah. Congressman Al Green of Texas.
We need to impeach him this president.
Dastardly deed. Dastardly. I've read the Constitution and it says something about high crimes and misdemeanors. That's the gauge.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about dastardly deeds done and dastardly deeds proposed.
Dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, right. Dirt cheap. Yeah.
Again, he's fixing shit. If he keeps fixing shit, we'll never get back in office.
Never be able to steal all that money back.
Yeah, right.
16 days in, articles of impeachment are going to be ready. Really? Wow.
I don't care. I think he's got enough.
Well, that's all they got. They have nothing. They really, you know, they're so desperate and so hysterical that they're like a dog chasing his tail.
Well, it's like, you know, you have
like the Joker,
the hysterical girlfriend.
He chases cars.
Yeah. Your friend's hysterical girlfriend that's always freaking out about everything, every little thing. She's overreacting to everything. That's what they're doing right now. And they have the media doing it, which I love for the simple fact that now the media is losing all their credibility.
I like how
the media,
funding.
The neo media is taking over. Mainstream, the legacy media is done. It's toast.
Because, I think they got,
nobody trusts them.
I think they got used to like Sleepy Joe's schedule because they can't keep up with Trump.
No.
You know,
it's so funny.
The guy's incredible.
They don't know
what
to focus
on. Like, every day is like Christmas morning. It's like you wake up and there's another gift under the tree. It's like, hey,
thank you.
All right.
He says,
there's going to be no men and women's sports. And then you see the left lose their shit. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, there's 10, you know, there's only, they go, well, you realize there's only 10 collegiate transgender women that are playing sports. I'm like, it's 10 too many. All right. Well, and forget about that. What about the ones that are in high school? Well,
I love when they do that. Like, let's say there's a mass shooting or something like that, or not the. Remember when Vance, somebody was interviewing him. He was saying, "We got all these gangsters and all that thing."
Oh, you hear yourself?
Yeah. The woman's like, "Oh, there's only like one or two. There's only like one or two gangs doing all the trouble."
No, it only happened.
Like, wait a minute! It's not supposed. You know,
it only happened in one apartment
like a
building.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you hear yourself.
Yeah, they try to attribute. They try to minimalize it by saying, "Well, it's only
one too many.
It's only two rapes."
Yeah, excuse me, Marcia. How many?
I don't care, Margaret.
Yeah, how many? Marcia Raddick was asking that question. He's like, I felt like saying, how many apartment buildings should be taken over by
what's the right number?
Yeah, what's the right number?
Before we should get involved with this. What do you think? And then her with her
she just looked kind of like speechless when he threw it back at her. She was just like, like she couldn't.
J.D. Vance is like a Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. He's just built to destroy the media.
Calmly, too.
Yeah, like, he's just very, like, all right, well, that's
very logical.
I was just listening to Shapiro on the way over here and or Michael Knowles, either or. And he was in an interview with some reporter. I said, well, can you give me some examples? And right without even batting an eye, he rattled off like four or five.
And she was like, well,
it's only 1% of the budget. So that's what we're talking. So she immediately had to like
Then she says,
it's another argument.
Let's change the subject.
Yeah, right. It's like,
oh, you're not.
Warning, warning, warning.
He has answers.
Yeah. That's like when Bernie, when RFK, when he when he called him out with the, look, all the.
See his eyes pop out of his head.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa. Yeah,
he's. I don't take any of anybody.
His head turned beet red. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Let me just say.
I knew this was going to come. I know you didn't.
No, you didn't.
That's why you're reacting the way you are.
RFK just pants you.
I took money from the
middle
workers.
Of a hearing.
I took money from the workers, not the CEO.
As if that makes it better.
Do you know what that sounds like? Even worse.
Yeah.
Even
that's
worse.
What they do. They make it sound like, well, it's not as bad as, you know, if I did it from
I stole CEO. I mean, I took it from the workers.
Well, waiting in bread lines is a good thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Let me just say.
How good communism is.
The millionaires and the billionaire. Wait a minute. I'm a millionaire. The billionaires are doing all the damage in this country.
Yeah, he did edit his
Yeah, he started.
Once he became a millionaire.
I want you to denounce the onesie.
Denounce the onesie.
Denounce the onesie.
Did you see Megyn Kelly in the background laughing her ass off?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like worth the price of admission.
Nobody needs a onesie. Like twosies for everyone.
Yes.
It doesn't be cut in half. Wait a minute. Two is too much. We got to make it so everybody has less.
Halfsies.
Nobody should have twosies of anything.
Right.
That's too much. No man should be allowed to have two of anything.
Except me, my houses.
Yes.
I have three.
Because I'm not a billionaire, but I'm a millionaire.
I can't wait to see what Doge shuts down next.
You know, like,
if this keeps up, I'm going to have to take a second mortgage on my third lake house.
I really...
False of him.
I generally don't want to disparage people from another state, especially coming from New Jersey, because we get disparaged all the time.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we deserve it. But I am really questioning the intellectual capacity of the people of Vermont that have elected a lazy communist into like the Senate for the last 25 years. I mean
what the hell?
Stunned.
He was so bad. He was kicked out of a commune. That's how lazy he was.
Yeah. Not only that, like that.
When you're kicked out by hippies for being lazy.
For being lazy. Yeah.
Just like.
The fluoride in the water up there must be amazing.
If they're using fluoride.
I have the cleanest teeth anywhere because we want fluoride. Fluoride is a right. We should all have fluoride. It is part of your rights, just like health care is a right.
Oh, no. Well, whenever you have to steal somebody else's labor, it's not a right.
No, it's not a right. Well, first of all, material objects, goods, and services are not rights. You got to,
no.
Because if, let's pretend that we decided, okay, we're going to do that. We're going to make them. Where does that end?
Well,
then internet has to be a right. Then, you know, the internet, that should be a right.
Here's
then.
The
cars
deal.
Will be
cars
right.
Need to
this
be
is
right.
What I got to say.
You know, you need to drive to get your stuff.
Stop having advertisements. The drug companies be able to advertise.
Yes.
And well, they should be able to be sued.
Okay, let's do that too.
They did that in 86.
But,
take that right away from them.
Yeah, they should not be able to advertise on TV. And once you take that away, then the money goes away and they don't have to be protected by the media anymore. And then they can actually have people that would report, you know, honestly on what they do. But you're never going to hear a news organization that takes millions of dollars from Pfizer and other companies.
Yeah. Or a politician.
Right. Yeah. Same thing with the politicians.
Like I only took money from the workers.
Sure you did. That's all.
The oligarchy.
The CEO's a worker.
Watch the billionaires. They're part of the oligarchy.
And the sad part is that guy will probably live to be 130.
Yeah, he's not going away.
He always reminds me dead and buried, and he'll still be senator.
He always reminded me of the Muppets, Waldorf
and Statler.
He always reminded me of one of them Muppets.
Like his one Muppet, yeah.
Yeah, the one Muppet.
I know. It is crazy.
He does look like a Muppet.
All right, kids.
Who are the strangest people you ever worked with in your life that are like so like out of...
Wow, there was
out of the realm. Like they just work on a different wavelength.
Well, there was that one guy I told you was a painter who stuttered. He went to Vietnam, and he worked. He was in the Air Force, and he was flying missions into. Remember when we weren't flying missions into Cambodia and Laos?
Mm-hmm.
He was flying missions into Cambodia and Laos, and when he went in there, he was fine. But he seen so much fucked up shit that he developed a stutter when he came out.
And you matched him up with the other stutterer?
I matched him up with the other stutterer.
All right, is that the guy you almost had him fighting with the other stutterer?
I almost had him fighting. So
they think they're making fun of each other? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fighting stutterers.
The guy comes in. We had no heat. So the guy for the heat comes in. He goes, I'm here to fix the heater. And I said, oh, go talk to him. So he walks over to Mike and says, so I'm over here to fix the heater. And then Mike goes, oh, why are you talking to me? And the guy goes, what, are you making fun of me? And the guy goes, no, I ain't making fun of you.
That's so awful.
Are you making fun of me? And the guy goes, I'll punch you in a fucking head. And the other guy goes, oh, yeah, well, I'll fucking punch you in the head. And then Mike says, who told you to come talk to me? And the guy turns around and goes, him. And I'm roaring. I'm over there laughing. He goes, you motherfucker, you think this is funny?
Says funny thing. Yes.
Funniest thing I've ever seen. Funniest thing I've ever seen. You know, nowadays I think I could get fired for that.
I would think
probably
so.
Would.
Probably back then it was just it went through the whole place. Oh, did you hear John took the heater guy who was stuttering and put him with a stuttering mic?
Yeah. I just ran into a guy that I work with just ran into a guy that I used to work with when I sold cars. And it's a long, bit how it happened. He works at another dealership now, and his car took a shit that he had just bought, and he went there, and he was there, says, oh, what you work at, at such and such a place. He says, yeah. He says, oh, do you know Deuce? He says, yeah, I do know him. He says, oh, I worked with him at the dealership and everything like that. So basically, to make a long story short, this guy is, like, so esoteric. He's levitating above us. The guy's really, really, really brilliant, but he has like no social skills whatsoever.
Yeah. Or the Lord giveth.
Yeah. He's just
Sheldon.
Yeah, exactly. He really, really is. That's about the closest thing that you can think of is he's like a Sheldon. So for an example, one day he showed up to work and his face was all raw. Like his nose was like raw hamburger and everything like that. And I was like, oh, what the hell happened to you? Well, he had a bad taste in women. He used to like to hang around with strippers. So he would like wind up dating them and everything, and then they would always end in failure and whatever. Imagine but anyway, that. He had a pet lizard, like a, iguana. Yeah, he had iguana. And he was sleeping. Yeah, ball of voodoo. So he was sleeping, and the stripper thought he looked so cute, so she got the iguana and she put it in bed with him. And she got a camera this is before cell phones, and she decided to take a picture of him sleeping with the iguana. And the flash fucking goes off, and the iguana gets freaked the fuck out, and it leaps up and it clamps down and bites his fucking nose.
Man.
So now he like sits bolt upright, and his fucking thing is like hanging on his nose and it won't let go. And so he's telling himself, so there I am, running down the hall, buck naked, with this iguana hanging off my nose. And he had to jump into the shower and turn on the cold water. And then the thing got like all dormant that he was able to pry the jaws off of his nose. So the next day, he's like, and we're all laughing about this.
He's lucky it was his nose.
Yeah, that's
you're right. Yeah.
He was naked.
Yeah, so we're like, well, how did the picture turn out? So then... After I had left the dealership, I got a new update on the store. This is years and years ago. And he said, oh, yeah, it was like a no call. That, in fact, no call, no show is like famous and legendary in the car industry. It's just expected because most car salesmen have issues. They're either alcoholics, drug addicts, gamblers, sometimes all three, And in Atlantic City, you can do all of that. But he wasn't that type. But anyway, Monday morning came. Where the fuck is he?
No call, no show.
No call, no show. They're calling him, Tuesday. No call, no show. Wednesday, he comes shambling in. Now, the last day he worked was Saturday. Now it's Wednesday. He comes shambling in. He's like ashen gray. What the fuck happened to you? Well, I was feeding my pet rattlesnake.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
Well, the fucking rat, it was like a baby rat, not a baby rat, but it was a young rattlesnake, and that's when they're most venomous. It was a timber rattler that he caught in the fucking Poconos, and he decided to keep it.
Just love it. Yeah.
So the fucking timber rattler bit him.
Oh, my God.
And instead of going to the hospital, he just stayed home like sweating it out, like raging fever, like working the venom through his system. So now I guess he's immune.
He's Spider-Man.
He could become a snake power now. Yeah. And we're like, why the fuck didn't you go to the hospital? As well, because I knew they would take the rattlesnake away from me, and I didn't want that to happen.
It would have eaten you if you died. Yeah, literally
died in bed, like shaking and trembling, you know. And he was like, you know,
his poor hooker girlfriend would have found him dead with the snake next to him.
But the funny thing of it was, you know, I'm telling
you,
the funny part.
This guy was like, here, we didn't know about it.
There's more.
This guy had like a wooden leg. So one day.
Stop it.
No. I mean.
Stop it.
No. He could drink so much. He had like a wooden leg. He could drink everybody here under the table. Like,
so I was bitten by a.
So we went to the bar one night and this guy, Teddy, he just loved to fuck with this guy. And Teddy had some weird power over him. So we're over there drinking and everything. And it's, I have to go. Nah, you have to have another. You have to have another shot. Oh, no, Teddy. I can't. I really can't. I have a lot to. Rob, if you don't drink that fucking shot, you're fired. Oh, no. You can't do that. Nah, I'm serious. And he would like drink it. So now we go home. This is on a Friday night. And Teddy wanted to like get the guy so messed up that he didn't show up to work the next day. Well, Rob was there the next day. Teddy wasn't. I'm there hurting for certain, you know, and just like, you know. So then we find out that he can really, really drink. So he winds up hanging out with the manager and they would close bars down at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then, so the one manager is like telling me, you know, I dropped by to visit. And oh yeah, man, he can really drink. And did you know that he can play guitar? I said, no, why would I know he can play guitar? He says, well, we were out drinking all night. We're like hammered. And they come home and the manager's like cooking bacon and eggs, nice greasy food to like get that alcohol absorbed into the system better.
Just what you want. Yeah.
And he said, I had this old beat up guitar that I had in college that he bought because he thought he was going to learn how to play and impress college girls so he could lay them, you know, and that didn't happen, of course, because he never learned how to play the guitar. So the whole time he's cooking the bacon and eggs, Rob is tuning this guitar up and it's like, it's just like, you know, if you've ever seen anyone tune an instrument, you know. And he says, I was just getting ready to turn around, tell him to knock it the fuck off. Doesn't the motherfucker start playing Roundabout by Yes? I'm like, what? Like, and he's hitting the guitar like, bang, and then it's like, here, the fucking guy went to Juilliard. He was like a fucking prodigy. Him and his sister are like brilliant. They're like so esoteric, but they levitate above everyone else. So that's how fucking smart this fucking guy was.
When you said he had a wooden leg, I was thinking to myself,
I thought literally,
like a pirate.
I was like, this poor son of a bitch has so many strikes against him.
Well, I had this pet. What was that? What's that dragon?
Komodo dragon.
No, I had this pet Komodo dragon. And it bit me on the leg.
Well, after the rattlesnake and the iguana, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have a Komodo dragon.
They had to take my leg off at the thigh. Yeah.
I sawed it off myself so they didn't take my dragon.
I mean, like, Roundabout by Yes, it's not exactly an easy
sculpted
song.
Sculpted his own leg.
Yeah, you're not like talking smoke on the water, like, talking Roundabout by Yes. It's like, wow.
Wasted. Yeah, wasted.
Just drunk, ossified.
On a piece of shit guitar.
Yeah, on a piece of shit guitar that was never even touched for probably like 20 years or just in the kitchen as a decoration. Like, covered in dust and bacon grease. It's like, yeah, you just say, walk among us. You just never know.
Yeah. All right, let's do some podcast shout-outs.
Oakley dokley.
Dutchess doesn't have to do them this time.
Break from the Gripe podcast with Jason and Mindy, and you can track their adventures on their YouTube channel. And basically what they do is they moved to Florida, and they found out there's a lot of stuff that's cool to do that's right around the corner from you, and you probably don't even know it. And that's no matter where you live. So you can check them out.
Okay. Am I Canceled with Edward and Katie Goobel? I tell you what. Now, I don't know if you've ever listened to Edward and Am I Canceled, but Edward has found his muse. This girl, Katie, it's like his co-host
now. I love
her.
She's fabulous.
And she works very well with him. He used to take, now it was at first it was a half hour podcast when it was by himself. Now it's like 41 minutes and they work so well together. And yeah, here's the other thing. He'll come into the comments. Katie will be in the comments when we're doing the Boomer Bunker. And if I say anything derogatory towards Katie, boy, does he white knife for her. Mm-hmm. I think he has a little shine for her. So, yeah, cancel?
Oh, she's the Edward Whisperer.
Yeah,
And, I know what that's like.
What they do is they go in and they go to Reddit and they read Am I the Asshole stories. Mm-hmm. And actually, I really enjoy it. When I wake up Friday, if that fucking podcast isn't ready for me when I pull up my phone to see it, I'm pissed. It's my Friday listen. My
Angry
Friday
John. Morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. And I yell at him.
Who's right with John's archenemy, Doug and Anthony?
Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
What, am I wrong?
No. Here it is. Who's right with Doug's archenemy, John and Anthony?
No, who's right with John's archenemy, Doug?
I'm not mad at
You're
Doug.
Not on their podcast.
I'm not Doug.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Doug.
Do you
Doug's
know how English works?
Yes.
No.
Doug's
No, you listen to our podcast, right?
How dare you?
Oh, bingo.
Doug is mad at me, so I'm Doug's arch enemy. He's not mine. I don't give a shit. If he called me tomorrow, I would talk to him. So it's not.
Why don't you call him?
Oh, that ratchet only turns one way.
I'll tell you what I'll do. This Saturday, I'll call him.
Give him a call.
And see if he picks up the phone.
He might.
Well, all right.
Don't record it.
How am I going to? No, I won't record. Yeah.
Don't do the faux pas you did the last
time. I'll call him and see if I can make this right. Who's right? I'll see if I can make this right. I'll call him.
Make right with who's right.
With who's right. See if that happens.
Please do. That would be awesome.
Oh, calm down. It's like
lighten up, Francis.
Really, I think you're the only one with the elevated blood pressure right
about
now.
Those, say what you want about those two guys. They think they're all hoity-toity now.
Okay.
Like, they think that they're the best things since sliced bread. It's just a silly, fucking stupid podcast like we do.
Aren't they?
No, they're not. They're not. They're just a silly, stupid podcast like what we're just doing right now.
Okay.
We are as entertaining as they are. I'll put that up against anybody. I'm serious.
All right.
Okay. I shake my head with Lisa and Sam. Those two ladies are going somewhere. They are actually, I can't believe they're doing this. They're doing a live event in Ontario. They're actually going to go out and do a live event. And I'm like,
yeah, you mentioned that last month.
I said, how are you going to do this? Who's going to do the tech and everything? They go, we'll get somebody. I'm like,
They're chicks.
We have iPhones.
Yeah, it's like, you just do the thing. You get them. All right. Okay.
They get those little clip-on mics and off they go.
Yeah, just you do it. That's all.
Magic.
Magic.
Magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
The Unwritable Rant with Juliet Miranda. Happy birthday to Juliet.
You know, it's funny. The other day, I come across the picture of her standing with the Brand X t-shirt on. I need to pull that back out again. Did we send her a Brand X t-shirt? Did she buy one? I forget.
They may have bought one.
They might have bought one. Yeah. Brilliant observation.
Why do you want to pull that out?
I don't know. It was just something. It was really neat for her to send a picture of her.
It's kind of creepy, man.
Yeah, it's like, where are you going with this?
No, how is that creepy?
I mean, three of us got really
triangulator background and finder. You know,
all right, maybe
but
I'm wrong.
She looked very good in that brand.
Are you going to start shucking your corn? I mean,
no,
what's going on?
No, she's
churning your butter.
Hang on, she's a very. let me just say something about Juliet. She's a very attractive woman. She modeled the T-shirt, and she sent us a picture, which I thought was really nice. And I came across. I said, "Oh man, remember that?" And it was nostalgic. It wasn't like running a hand batch.
Back up. When you say you came across.
I'm going through pictures. All right. So
be careful with technology.
So my phone, whenever I take pictures, it automatically uploads them to Google Photo. So every picture that I take, so every once in a while, I got to go into Google Photo and get rid of all the nonsense that I have. Screenshots of this, pictures of me making stew or whatever. So I was going through.
How many of those are there?
Tons.
A lot.
So as I was going through them and I saw that one, I was like, oh, that was really cool. And then there was also ones where Doug actually made logos for Brand X back in the day when he used to like us. Me. Well, he still likes you. He doesn't like me. We'll see if we can fix it.
As far as I know.
Did I do brilliant observations yet?
Nope.
You started to.
Brilliant observations with Melissa and Amy. They're still doing it, man. I don't even know how many episodes they have.
A million six.
Something like that. But yeah, they're a fun listen.
The Po Boys podcast with that guy, Jody B.
Yes. I got some extra ones here that I'm adding. I had to say it podcast with Aaron. Now, Aaron, I don't know if you've caught this guy before. I had to say it. He goes on a 45-minute like rant when he goes, or 30, whatever he does, but he goes on a rant about whatever's going on in politics. I love to listen to him. He actually makes me tired by the time. When he gets done, I'm tired because he just rolls. I'm like, man.
It's a stream of consciousness, but it makes sense. It's not.
Yeah.
He stays pretty much on task.
And the other day, we had him on our podcast. Remember, he was the guy that took over for me when I had to
go to
the bathroom.
You had the gripping shits?
Yeah, when I had the farts. So we talked about his mustache, and the next day he put some mustache wax in. And
he did the curly
things on the end of his mustache.
I liked it; they look good.
Yeah, I think he's a handsome feller.
The Boomer Bunker with Doug's arch enemy John Domingo and the Duchess. See, that's how English works.
I got you. And then here's a new one for us here at the Brand X Podcast: The Weathered View with Bruce Jason, who did these lovely stickers and this amazing, what is that? I guess it's a tumbler?
Tumbler.
Skinny tumbler.
A skinny tumbler. Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing. And then it's also Ken and some other dude.
Well, Ken from Mad Case.
Right. And then who's the other dude that always shows up? He reminds me, honest to God, he reminds me of the Bitter Asian Man. But I can't think of it. What's his name? The know-it-all that comes on in the mornings. He's not really part of the show. What's his name?
Oh, I don't know. He doesn't have a podcast.
Yeah, he shows up.
It's like, Aluth. It's
like
an odd name.
Mr. Drysdale in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, right. Just pops in.
Walks in.
All right, so let me explain to you. Since you guys don't have Twitter, on Twitter you can do these spaces, and it's like an audio show. And every day during the week, Bruce gets up. He lives in California. He gets up and drives to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he does a podcast from his car as he's driving to work. And Duchess shows up, and Ken's there, and Jason's there, and sometimes Aaron shows up, and sometimes I show up, and they just
Bob's there now occasionally.
Bob shows up every once in a while.
Producer Mike
shows up. Has he been on the show, or is he just
listening? He listens.
He's a listener. He's a dabbler. Yeah, he's
dabble,
a listener.
Dabble.
But you know, as a morning show goes, it's here on the East Coast. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's an actually a really good show. And then you have frequent guest Duchess, who's there in the morning too. Wrong?
No.
Okay.
Not wrong. I'm just laughing.
I called her a co-host before she got all beside herself.
Well, because I'm not a co-host.
So now she's a frequent guest.
Well, Bruce reiterated that.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to step on toes.
You like to split hairs.
Yeah.
Do I?
Nah.
Every day I go on there, she's there.
Not every day.
4 out of 5?
Jealous.
Maybe. I'm not doing anything at 9. I can jump
Jezebel
on.
About jealous.
I'm not jealous at all.
You're welcome to come on. He loves you.
Of course I am. I know that, but I'm just saying.
It's also all guys and me, so I tend to get an extra moment sometimes.
And not only that, like I said, I've always said to you, go do other podcasts, because she would ask me, is it okay if I go do that? I'm like, go do all. The only thing I say is at the end, say, hey, come watch this on the Boomer Bunker. Mm-hmm. She's bringing more people than I am. I'm a crusty old fag.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
Fag. I'm a fag. I don't say a crusty old man. I don't say a crusty old
fag. Definitely crusty old fart.
I'm a crusty old fart.
You have to be like Peter O'Toole to be a crusty old fag.
This is the episode where John comes out.
Yes.
No.
Hello, Frisco.
I don't know. I'm going to say it again. We were on Shitty Song of the Week. And Shitty Song of the Week is where you come in and you battle out two
you
bad songs.
You picked the wrong song. I actually like that song.
Which one?
Chevy Van. Yeah, I just thought it was a cool tune.
Chevy Van.
All right, Joe, you're into music.
Mm-hmm. What's
two shitty
back
songs?
In the 70s.
Right,
song,
Shitty
Chevy
Song.
Van.
Paul Anka, Having My Baby. Or Chevy Van by Sammy Johns.
Which is worse?
Yeah.
Oh, Paul Anka. Chevy Van.
See, you guys should have went with Mickey by Tony Basil. I hate that fucking song.
Okay.
All
right.
Mickey, you're so fine. You blow. Who was the one that sung that? I remember Dave Martell doing a joke about that. Loving you.
Loving you.
Oh,
Minnie Riperton. Minnie Riperton.
Yeah, where you are.
That's Maya Rudolph's mother.
Yeah.
That one part where she
sounded real young.
Yeah, it sounds like she was dying in that song.
Like, she could hit like, she was like, she could hit like four octaves.
Yeah, it's like Mariah Carey.
Yeah, it's like really a rare skill.
Sounded like somebody grabbed it by the roast beef.
I think she was only like 42 or something when she died.
She was really young.
Yeah.
Well, that's besides the point. Besides the point is
no sad
that we
facts.
Went on this show.
Well, you guys picked the wrong song.
All right. Say what you want. But still, if I ask you guys as fans of the show to go over and vote for our show, you know, the song, our song, so we can win.
Well, I'd have to be true to my conscience and vote for
Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
Thanks, Boomer Bob.
That's exactly why I said it.
So then I say, okay, go vote.
He lost his shit.
I have 7 fucking Twitter accounts.
What?
So I go over on all my Twitter accounts and I vote 7 times. There's 25 votes and we're losing. I'm like, what the fuck do I actually got to do?
I don't think that number moved. I wonder if it was just, it stayed static.
It didn't. So then Monday I come on and I eviscerate our audience. I blame them for everything. I tell them, you pieces of shit, you know, I don't ask for much. Go over there and fucking vote. I go on, so the Duchess says, well, you know, the problem is we haven't really promoted this.
We didn't.
So then I take to Twitter and I go other places.
Berates all of our audience.
Berates everybody.
That always works.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I said.
I drove. Okay. There was like 100 views on this tweet when
Did
I started.
Did you see how Kamala Harris lost the election? You took nothing from that.
When I started my rampage, there was like 100 views on this tweet.
Yeah.
When I got done, there was 600. When I started, there was 25 votes. When I got done, 26.
Did you ever, on the same topic, is there ever a song or a group that you like really, really hated, but then years had to go by and you're like, actually, they're actually not bad. It's like they were just a little bit ahead of you, ahead of the, you know, that where you were in that space at that time. Like, for example, for me, The Who before Kenny Jones was still in the group.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. And that's how it was like probably the Face Dances. I think it might have been
Face Dances.
And they put out Eminem's Front.
Oh, it's hard.
I hated that album. Okay.
Yeah.
I hated that song so fucking much. I really fucking hated that. Now, that was in 82, 83 when I was still in high school. And then like 10 years went by and I was like, wow, this is actually a pretty good song. It's like, right. Because they were just ahead of where I was at that time. You know what I mean?
If I go to a club and listen to the dance music they play today, I'm like, you know, 70s disco, it's pretty fucking good.
It was pretty well produced.
It was
Oh, you guys all made fun of me when I said it was my guilty secret that I like disco. You guys all jumped all over my shit.
Everything now is
boots
and pants and boots and pants and boots and pants and boots and pants. But getting back to what you're saying.
Like Fire by the Ohio Players? Fucking awesome.
For me, it was Led Zeppelin. I despised Led Zeppelin when I was younger, and now I kind of appreciate it.
Yeah, 40 years too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On that same realm, and I hate even saying this now, I used to despise Rush. It was horrible.
Well, you have no taste.
And then there's a couple
songs. I saw Rush 7 times.
Yeah, see?
Nice.
I saw since 1980.
Every time they were coming to Philadelphia, now, I would see it like every night.
The guy that ruins that band is the singer.
He's what makes the band.
No, his fucking voice is like nails on a chalkboard. The drummer, the music is okay, but as soon as he starts talking.
The drummer's okay.
No.
Now, John, I'm a drummer.
Now, the drummer.
I need you to go back.
The drummer's amazing.
Amend that statement.
He's dead now, but he's amazing. He's not an amazing so great drummer. Now, but,
he's not doing much now.
He's not really doing, he's decomposing.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were the bands that I could not stand. I could not stand Led Zeppelin. And I think the reason I didn't like Led Zeppelin because everybody liked Led Zeppelin. Oh, Led Zeppelin. I'm like.
They were actually bigger here in the States than they were in England.
And then the other thing is then when you find out how many artists they ripped off, they just blatantly ripped off artists.
Oh, that's a lie.
No, not all of it.
That's not
No, they. It,
like the whole. Stairway to heaven thing.
Yeah. When I listen to that, the chord progressions and everything of the other song, I'm like, you know, I think I had to go with these guys on this because
fuck those guys.
Yeah,
they didn't have the label.
Well, fuck and the reason I say that is because all the big classics, all the big rock classics like Stairway to Heaven, Freebird, all that, I can't stand to listen to them anymore.
They've been, to well, me, they've been played too much. So much that right. when I hear, ah, this fucking, you know, you got to turn it off.
Change it. Yep.
And getting back to the whole Stairway to Heaven thing, it was like, as if Stairway, if Led Zeppelin, that's the only song that they had.
Right.
You know, you're going to make an argument. They put out like 7 fucking albums, and every one of them, you can listen the beginning to the end nonstop. Everything was like a staple of AOR radio back in the day.
Right. But I remember when you got married, I said, what's going to be your wedding song?
And well,
you
I said, The
Immigrant Song.
We still refer to that as our wedding song.
Well, that was the introduction.
I was thrilled song. In Thor Ragnarok.
When yes.
I was like, you know, I was like, oh, here's our wedding song. And he's kicking everybody's ass twice.
Yeah.
You know, I used it twice in that movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
2 minutes and 38 seconds. I thought it would get everybody in the mood for the reception. And now, ladies and gentlemen, dancing first time as husband and wife, Deuce and Diane. I thought it would have been fucking awesome.
You guys are like two-stepping.
Everyone's pumped up. Yeah. Everyone, you know, Diane's gown flurrying around. She's like,
oh, my God.
Pick her up, throw her in the air, smoke a cigarette, catch her.
That wedding was just a classic.
It was. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Oh, my God.
From Genghis wedding. Forgetting the rings all the way up to
Jim. No, Genghis did not forget the rings.
John forgot the rings.
John forgot them.
Genghis somebody had to go them. Get the rings.
John Jackass had to get the rings.
I don't remember. Again,
was that the wife
first
in,
of all,
in the party?
Well, you and I both forgot the rings.
First of all. It was a fucking nightmare because I didn't think I was even coming to this thing.
Well, you were fighting with the maid of honor.
I was fighting with the maid of honor because she couldn't get her fucking hair right. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Really, it doesn't matter. She says, I'm not going. I'm like, what?
The fuck you're not.
What do you mean you're not going? Get in that fucking car. And she's like, no, I'm not going. I'm like, well, I can't go. I guess I'll just never talk to Deuce again.
The big red menace.
So then I go to get dressed. I go to put my cummerbund on. The fucking buckle snaps.
Yeah.
So I had to tie it on. It was a fucking nightmare.
I think we safety pinned it on in my house.
Yeah, we safety
pinned it. Because I was like, yeah, like we had to get like 4 safety pins.
I was the one who realized, hey, where's the rings?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Ruh-roh.
Yeah. And we got married in Medford Lakes, and Medford Lakes is
right
about 20, easy. 25. It's
so, if you catch every fucking green light, it might be 20 minutes.
Yeah. Ooh.
And you're not going to catch every fucking
so
green
then,
light.
So then she says, well, okay, listen. Here, just take this ring and get married with these. And Diane goes,
No, I want my own ring.
I'm not getting married with someone else's ring.
They so, got there just in time.
It was amazing. It looked almost like it was part of the ceremony.
Right.
John did the pivot off stage, came back.
Came out. All I seen was his hand come out with this box.
I wish the camera was on me because when I went and when you showed up, the camera was to my back. But the look of dumbfoundedness that must have been on my face that the fucking rings were there, like, holy shit.
All I remember was Genghis walking back after he gave me the rings. He's walking in front of everybody. He goes, yeah. I guess I wasn't supposed to watch my
son. I just wasn't meant to watch my son get married.
And I like what the priest. I like what he said. And then the priest says, "And we thank you, Lord, for getting the rings here on time."
Yeah.
And that's when your father probably should have jumped up and said, "Bullshit! Yeah, got the rings here."
All right, everybody.
Jackass always takes it up the air.
He always does. He always does. All right, we will be back here next month. For another drunken adventure of the Brand X Podcast.
Adios, bitches.
Eat my fart box.
Bye-bye.
Will you shut the fuck up so I can end the recording?
That's it. We're just getting into it.